Something about the music makes me apprehensive. Perhaps because the music is too cool, too detached. I frown, trying to grasp why it unsettles me. But Christian grasps my chin, startling me, and tugs gently so that I release my bottom lip. I smile, trying to reassure myself. Why do I feel uneasy? Is it the music? Christian runs his hand from my chin, along my throat, and down my chest to my breast. Using his thumb, he pulls on the cup, freeing my breast from the restraint of my bra. He makes a low, appreciative humming noise in his throat and kisses my neck. His lips follow the path of his fingers to my breast, kissing and sucking all the way. His fingers move to my left breast, releasing it from my bra. I moan as he skates his thumb across my left nipple, and his lips close around my right, tugging and teasing gently until both nipples are long and hard. Ah! He doesn't stop. With exquisite care, he slowly increases the intensity on each. I pull fruitlessly against my restraints as sharp pleasure spikes from my nipples to my groin. I try to squirm, but I can hardly move, and it makes the torture all the more intense. Christian, I plead.
I know, he murmurs, his voice hoarse. This is what you make me feel.
What? I groan, and he begins again, subjecting my nipples to his sweet, agonizing touch over and over, taking me closer. Please, I mewl. He makes a low primal sound in his throat, then stands, leaving me bereft, breathless, and squirming against my restraints. He runs his hands down my sides, one pausing on my hip while the other travels down my belly.
Let's see how you're doing, he croons softly.
Gently, he cups my sex, brushing his thumb across my clitoris and making me cry out. Slowly, he inserts one, then two fingers inside me. I groan and thrust my hips forward, eager to meet his fingers and the palm of his hand.
Oh, Anastasia, you are so ready, he says.
He circles his fingers inside me, around and around, while his thumb strokes my clitoris, back and forth once more. It's the only point on my body where he's touching me, and all the tension, all the anxiety of the day is concentrated on this one part of my anatomy. Holy shit, it's intense and strange. The music. I begin to build. Christian shifts, his hand still moving against and in me, and I hear a low buzzing noise. What? I gasp.
Hush,
he soothes, and his lips are on mine, effectively silencing me. I welcome the warmer, more intimate contact, kissing him voraciously. He breaks the contact and the buzzing noise gets nearer.
This is a wand, baby. It vibrates.
He holds it against my chest, and it feels like a large, ball-like object vibrating against me. I shiver as it moves across my skin, down between my breasts, across to first one, then the other nipple, and I'm awash with sensation, tingling everywhere, synapses firing as dark, dark need pools at the base of my belly. Ah! I groan, while Christian's fingers continue to move inside me. I'm close. All this stimulation. Tilting my head back, I moan loudly and Christian stills his fingers. All sensation stops. No! Christian! I plead, trying to thrust my hips forward for some friction.
Still, baby,
he says while my impending orgasm melts away. He leans forward once more and kisses me.
Frustrating, isn't it?
He murmurs. Oh, no. Suddenly, I understand his game. Christian, please.
Hush,
he says, and kisses me. And he starts to move again, wand, fingers, thumb, a lethal combination of sensual torture. He shifts so his body brushes against mine. He's still dressed,
and the soft denim of his jeans brushes against my leg, his erection at my hip, so tantalizingly close. He brings me to the brink again, my body singing with need, and stops. "No," I mewl loudly. He plants soft, wet kisses on my shoulder as he withdraws his fingers from me and moves the wand down. It oscillates over my stomach, my belly, onto my sex, against my clitoris. Fuck, it's intense. Ah! I cry out, pulling hard on the restraints. My body is so sensitized I feel I am going to explode, and just as I am, Christian stops again. Christian! I cry out.
Frustrating, yes? He murmurs against my throat. Just like you. Promising one thing, and then...
His voice trails off. Christian, please, I beg. He pushes the wand against me again and again, stopping just at the vital moment each time. Ah!
Each time I stop, it feels more intense when I start again, right?
Please, I whimper. My nerve endings are screaming for release. The buzzing stops, and Christian kisses me. He runs his nose down mine.
You are the most frustrating woman I have ever met.
No, no, no. Christian, I never promised to obey you. Please, please. He moves in front of me, grabs my behind, and pushes his hips against me, making me gasp, his groin rubbing into mine, the buttons of his jeans pressing into me, barely containing his erection. With one hand, he pulls off the blindfold and grasps my chin, and I blink up into his scorching eyes.
You drive me crazy,
he whispers, flexing his hips against me once, twice, three times more, causing my body to spark, ready to burn. And again, he denies me. I want him so badly. I need him so badly. I close my eyes and mutter a prayer. I can't help but feel I'm being punished. I'm helpless, and he's ruthless. Tears spring to my eyes. I don't know how far he's going to take this. Please, I whisper once more. But he gazes down at me, implacable. He's just going to continue. For how long? Can I play this game? No. No, no, I can't do this. I know he's not going to stop. He's going to continue to torture me. His hand travels down my body once more. No! And the dam bursts. All the apprehension, the anxiety, and the fear from the last couple of days overwhelming me anew as tears spring to my eyes. I turn away from him. This is not love. It's revenge.
Red! I whimper. Red! Red!
The tears course down my face. He stills.
No! He gasps, stunned. Jesus Christ, no!
He moves quickly, unclipping my hands, clasping me around my waist and leaning down to unclip my ankles while I put my head in my hands and weep.
No, 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 Anna. Please, no.
Picking me up, he moves to the bed, sitting down and cradling me in his lap while I sob inconsolably. I'm overwhelmed, my body wound up to breaking point, my mind a blank, and my emotions scattered to the wind. He reaches behind him, drags the satin sheet off the four-poster bed, and drapes it around me. The cool sheets feel alien and unwelcome against my sensitized skin. He wraps his arms around me, hugging me close, rocking me gently backward and forward.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
Christian murmurs, his voice raw. He kisses my hair over and over again.
Anna, forgive me, please.
Turning my face into his neck, I continue to cry, and it's a cathartic release. So much has happened over the last few days. Fires and computer rooms, car chases, careers planned out for me, slutty architects,
armed lunatics in the apartment, arguments, his anger. And Christian has been away. I hate Christian going away. I use the corner of the sheet to wipe my nose and gradually become aware that the clinical tones of Bach are still echoing around the room. "Please switch the music off," I sniff.
"Yes, of course."
Christian shifts, not letting me go, and pulls the remote out of his back pocket. He presses a button and the piano music ceases, to be replaced by my shuddering breaths.
"Better?"
he asks. I nod, my sobs easing. Christian wipes my tears away gently with his thumb.
"Not a fan of Bach's Goldberg variations?"
he asks. "Not that piece." He gazes down at me, trying and failing to hide the shame in his eyes.
"I'm sorry,"
he says again.
"Why did you do that?"
My voice is barely audible as I try to process my scrambled thoughts and feelings. He shakes his head sadly and closes his eyes.
"I got lost in the moment,"
he says unconvincingly. I frown at him, and he sighs.
"Anna, orgasm denial is a standard tool in... You never..."
He stops. I shift in his lap, and he winces.
"Oh," I flush.
"Sorry," I mutter. He rolls his eyes, then leans back suddenly, taking me with him so that we're both lying on the bed, me in his arms. My bra is uncomfortable, and I adjust it.
"Need a hand?"
he asks quietly. I shake my head. I don't want him to touch my breasts. He shifts so he's looking down at me, and tentatively raising his hand, he strokes his fingers gently down my face. Tears pool in my eyes again. How can he be so callous one minute and so tender the next?
"Please don't cry,"
he whispers. I'm dazed and confused by this man. My anger has deserted me in my hour of need. I feel numb. I want to curl up in a ball and withdraw. I blink, trying to hold back my tears as I gaze into his harrowed eyes. I take a shuddering breath, my eyes not leaving his. What am I going to do with this controlling man? Learn to be controlled? I don't think so.
"I never what?" I ask.
"Do as you're told. You changed your mind. You didn't tell me where you were. Anna, I was in New York, powerless and livid. If I'd been in Seattle, I'd have brought you home."
"So you are punishing me?"
He swallows, then closes his eyes. He doesn't have to answer, and I know that punishing me was his exact intention. "You have to stop doing this," I murmur. His brow furrows. "For a start, you only end up feeling shittier about yourself." He snorts.
"That's true,"
he mutters.
"I don't like to see you like this."
"And I don't like feeling like this. You said on The Fair Lady that you hadn't married a submissive."
"I know. I know."
His voice is soft and raw. "Well, stop treating me like one. I'm sorry I didn't call you. I won't be so selfish again. I know you worry about me." He gazes at me, scrutinizing me closely, his eyes bleak and anxious.
"Okay. Good,"
he says eventually. He leans down but pauses before his lips touch mine, silently asking if it's allowed. I raise my face to his, and he kisses me tenderly.
"Your lips are always so soft when you've been crying,"
he murmurs. "I never promised to obey you, Christian," I whisper.
"I know."
"Deal with it, please, for both our sakes. And I will try to be more considerate of your controlling tendencies." He looks lost and vulnerable, completely at sea.
"I'll try,"
he murmurs, his voice burning with sincerity. I sigh, a long, shuddering sigh. "Please do. Besides, if I had been here..."
"I know,"
he says, and blanches. Lying back, He puts his free arm over his face. I curl around him and lay my head on his chest. We both lie silent for a few moments. His hand moves to the end of my braid. He pulls the tie from it, freeing my hair, and gently, rhythmically, combs his fingers through it. This is what this is really about. His fear. His irrational fear for my safety. An image of Jack Hyde slumped on the floor in the apartment with a Glock comes to mind. Well, maybe not so irrational. Which reminds me. What did you mean earlier when you said or? I ask.
Or?
Something about Jack. He peers down at me.
You don't give up, do you?
I rest my chin on his sternum, enjoying the soothing caress of his fingers in my hair. Give up? Never. Tell me. I don't like being kept in the dark. You seem to have some overblown idea that I need protecting. You don't even know how to shoot. I do. Do you think I can't handle whatever it is you won't tell me, Christian? I've had your stalker ex-sub pull a gun on me, your pedophile ex-lover harass me, and... Don't look at me like that, I snap when he scowls at me. Your mother feels the same way about her.
You talked to my mother about Elena?
Christian's voice raises a few octaves. Yes, Grace and I talked about her. He gapes at me. She's very upset about it, blames herself.
I can't believe you spoke to my mother. Shit.
He lies down and puts his arm over his face again. I didn't go into any specifics.
I should hope not. Grace doesn't need all the gory details. Christ, Anna, my dad too?
No. I shake my head vehemently. I don't have that kind of relationship with Carrick. His comments about the prenup still sting. Anyway, you're trying to distract me, again. Jack, what about him? Christian lifts his arm briefly and gazes at me, his expression unreadable. Sighing, he puts his arm back over his face.
Hyde is implicated in Charlie Tango's sabotage. The investigators found a partial print. Just partial, so they couldn't make a match. But then you recognized Hyde in the server room. He has convictions as a minor in Detroit, and the prints matched his.
My mind reels as I try to absorb this information. Jack brought down Charlie Tango? But Christian is on a roll.
This morning, a cargo van was found in the garage here. Hyde was the driver. Yesterday, he delivered some shit to that new guy who's moved in. The guy we met in the elevator?
I don't remember his name.
Me neither,
Christian says.
But that's how Hyde managed to get into the building legitimately. He was working for a delivery company.
And? What's so important about the van? Christian says nothing. Christian, tell me.
The cops found things in the van.
He stops again and tightens his hold around me. What things? He's quiet for several moments, and I open my mouth to prompt him, but he speaks.
A mattress, enough horse tranquilizer to take down a dozen horses, and a note.
His voice has softened to barely a whisper while horror and revulsion roll off him. Holy fuck. Note? My voice mirrors his,
addressed to me.
What did it say? Christian shakes his head, indicating he doesn't know or that he won't divulge its contents. Oh.
Hyde came here last night with the intention of kidnapping you.
Christian freezes, his face taut with tension. As he says those words, I recall the duct tape, and a shudder runs through me. Though deep down, this is not news to me.
Shit,
I mutter.
Quite,
Christian says tightly. I try to remember Jack in the office. Was he always insane? How did he think he could get away with this? I mean, he was pretty creepy, but this unhinged? I don't understand why, I murmur. It doesn't make sense to me.
I know. The police are digging further, and so is Welch. But we think Detroit is the connection.
Detroit? I gaze at him, confused.
Yeah, there's something there.
I still don't understand. Christian lifts his face and gazes at me, his expression unreadable.
Anna, I was born in Detroit.
Chapter 12. I thought you were born here, in Seattle, I murmur. My mind races. What does this have to do with Jack?
Christian raises the arm covering his face, reaches behind him, and grabs one of the pillows. Placing it under his head, he settles back and gazes at me with a wary expression. After a moment, he shakes his head.
No. Elliot and I were both adopted in Detroit. We moved here shortly after my adoption. Grace wanted to be on the West Coast, away from the urban sprawl, and she got a job at Northwest Hospital. I have very little memory of that time. Mia was adopted here.
So Jack is from Detroit?
Yes.
Oh. How do you know?
I ran a background check when you went to work for him.
Of course he did. Do you have a manila file on him, too? I smirk.
Christian's mouth twists as he hides his amusement.
I think it's pale blue.
His fingers continue to run through my hair. It's soothing. What does it say in his file?
Christian blinks. Reaching down, he strokes my cheek.
You really want to know?
Is it that bad?
He shrugs.
I've known worse.
He whispers.
No. Is he referring to himself? And the image I have of Christian as a small, dirty, fearful, lost boy comes to mind. I curl around him, holding him tighter, pulling the sheet over him, and I lay my cheek against his chest.
What?
He asks, puzzled by my reaction.
Nothing, I murmur.
No, no. This works both ways, Anna. What is it?
I glance up, assessing his apprehensive expression. Resting my cheek upon his chest once more, I decide to tell him. Sometimes I picture you as a child, before you came to live with the Grays.
Christian stiffens.
I wasn't talking about me. I don't want your pity, Anastasia. That part of my life is done, gone.
It's not pity, I whisper, appalled. It's sympathy and sorrow. Sorrow that anyone could do that to a child. I take a deep, steadying breath as my stomach twists and tears prick my eyes anew. That part of your life is not done, Christian. How can you say that? You live every day with your past. You told me yourself. 50 Shades, remember?
My voice is barely audible. Christian snorts and runs his free hand through his hair, though he remains silent and tense beneath me.
I know it's why you feel the need to control me, keep me safe.
And yet you choose to defy me,
he murmurs, baffled, his hand stilling in my hair.
I frown. Holy cow, do I do that deliberately?
My subconscious removes her half-moon glasses and chews the end, pursing her lips and nodding. I ignore her.
This is confusing. I'm his wife, not his submissive, not some company he's acquired. I'm not the crack whore who was his mother. Fuck.
The thought is sickening. Dr. Flynn's words come back to me. Just keep doing what you're doing. Christian is head over heels. It's a delight to see.
That's it. I'm just doing what I've always done. Isn't that what Christian found attractive in the first place?
Oh, this man is so confusing.
Dr. Flynn said I should give you the benefit of the doubt. I think I do. I'm not sure. Perhaps it's my way of bringing you into the here and now, away from your past, I whisper.
I don't know. I just can't seem to get a handle on how far you'll overreact.
He's silent for a moment.
Fucking Flynn,
he mutters to himself. He said I should continue to behave the way I've always behaved with you.
Did he now?
Christian says dryly. Okay. Here goes nothing.
Christian, I know you loved your mom and you couldn't save her. It wasn't your job to do that, but I'm not her.
He freezes again.
Don't.
He whispers. No, listen. Please. I raise my head to stare into wide eyes that are paralyzed with fear. He's holding his breath.
Oh, Christian. My heart constricts.
I'm not her. I'm much stronger than she was. I have you, and you're so much stronger now. And I know you love me.
I love you too, I whisper.
His brow creases as if my words were not what he expected.
Do you still love me?
He asks.
Of course I do. Christian, I will always love you, no matter what you do to me.
Is this the reassurance he wants? He exhales and closes his eyes, placing his arm over his face again, but hugging me closer, too.
Don't hide from me.
Reaching up, I grasp his hand and pull his arm away from his face. You've spent your life hiding. Please don't. Not from me. He looks at me with incredulity and frowns.
Hiding?
Yes. He shifts suddenly, rolling over onto his side and moving me so that I am lying beside him on the bed. He reaches up, smooths my hair off my face, and tucks it behind my ear.
You asked me earlier today if I hated you. I didn't understand why. And now?
He stops, staring down at me as if I'm a complete conundrum. You still think I hate you? Now my voice is incredulous.
No.
He shakes his head.
Not now.
He looks relieved.
But I need to know. Why did you safe word, Anna?
I blanch. What can I tell him? That he frightened me? That I didn't know if he'd stop? That I begged him, and he didn't stop? That I didn't want things to escalate? Like that one time in here. I shudder as I recall him whipping me with his belt. I swallow.
Because you were so angry and distant and cold, I didn't know how far you'd go.
His expression is unreadable.
Were you going to let me come?
My voice is barely a whisper, and I feel a blush steal over my cheeks, but I hold his gaze.
No,
he says eventually.
Holy crap.
That's harsh. His knuckle gently grazes my cheek.
But effective,
he murmurs. He gazes down at me as if he's trying to see into my soul, his eyes darkening. After an eternity, he murmurs,
I'm glad you did.
Really?
I don't understand.
His lips twist in a sad smile.
Yes, I don't want to hurt you. I got carried away.
He reaches down and kisses me.
Lost in the moment.
He kisses me again.
Happens a lot with you.
Oh? And for some bizarre reason, the thought pleases me. I grin. Why does that make me happy? He grins, too.
I don't know why you're grinning, Mrs. Gray.
Me neither. He wraps himself around me and places his head on my chest. We are a tangle of naked and denim-clad limbs and satin-red sheets. I stroke his back with one hand and run the fingers of my other hand through his hair. He sighs and relaxes in my arms.
It means I can trust you. To stop me. I never want to hurt you.
He murmurs.
I need.
He halts. You need what?
I need control, Anna. Like I need you. It's the only way I can function. I can't let go of it. I can't. I've tried. And yet, with you.
He shakes his head in exasperation. I swallow. This is the heart of our dilemma. His need for control and his need for me. I refuse to believe these are mutually exclusive.
I need you too,
I whisper, hugging him tighter. I'll try, Christian. I'll try to be more considerate.
I want you to need me,
he murmurs.
Holy cow.
I do. My voice is impassioned. I need him so much. I love him so much.
I want to look after you.
You do, all the time. I missed you so much while you were away.
You did?
He sounds so surprised. Yes, of course. I hate you going away. I sense his smile.
You could have come with me.
Christian, please, let's not rehash that argument. I want to work. He sighs as I run my fingers gently through his hair.
I love you, Anna.
I love you too, Christian. I will always love you.
We both lie still in the quiet after our storm. Listening to the steady beat of his heart, I drift, exhausted, into sleep. I wake with a start, disoriented. Where am I? The playroom. The lights are still on, softly illuminating the blood-red walls. Christian moans again, and I realize this is what woke me.
No,
he groans. He sprawled out beside me, his head back, his eyes screwed shut, his face contorted in anguish. Holy shit. He's having a nightmare.
No!
He cries out again. Christian, wake up! I struggle to sit up, kicking off the sheet. Kneeling beside him, I grab his shoulders and shake him as tears spring to my eyes. Christian, please, wake up! His eyes spring open, gray and wild, his pupils enlarged with fear. He stares vacantly up at me. Christian, you're having a nightmare. You're home. You're safe. He blinks, looks around frantically, and frowns as he takes in our surroundings. Then his eyes are back on mine.
Anna,
he breathes, and with no preamble whatsoever, he grabs my face with both hands, pulls me down onto his chest, and kisses me, hard. His tongue invades my mouth, and he tastes of desperation and need. Barely giving me a chance to breathe, he rolls over, his lips locked to mine so that he's pressing me into the hard mattress of the four-poster. One of his hands clasps my jaw, the other spreads out on top of my head, keeping me still as his knee parts my legs, and he nestles, still clothed in his jeans, between my thighs.
Anna,
he gasps, as if he can't believe I'm there with him. He gazes down at me for a split second, allowing me a moment to breathe. Then his lips are on mine again, plundering my mouth, taking all I have to give. He groans loudly, flexing his hips into me. His erection sheathed in denim pushes into my soft flesh. Oh, I moan, and all the pent-up sexual tension of earlier erupts, resurfacing with a vengeance, flushing my system with desire and need. Driven by his demons, he urgently kisses my face, my eyes, my cheeks, along my jaw. I'm here, I whisper, trying to calm him, our heated, panting breath mingling. I wrap my arms around his shoulders as I grind my pelvis against his in welcome.
Oh, Anna,
he pants, his voice rough and low.
I need you.
Me too,
I whisper urgently, my body desperate for his touch. I want him. I want him now. I want to heal him. I want to heal me. I need this. His hand reaches down and tugs on the button of his fly, fumbling momentarily, then freeing his erection. Holy shit. I was asleep less than a minute ago. He shifts, staring down at me for a split second, suspended above me. Yes, please, I breathe, my voice hoarse and needy. And in one swift move, he buries himself inside me. Ah! I cry out, not from any pain, but from surprise at his alacrity. He groans, and his lips find mine again as he pushes into me, over and over, his tongue possessing me, too. He moves frantically, compelled by his fear, his lust, his desire, His love? I don't know, but I meet him thrust for thrust, welcoming him.
Anna,
he growls almost inarticulately, and he comes powerfully, pouring himself into me, his face strained, his body rigid, before he collapses with his full weight onto me, panting, and he leaves me hanging. Again. Holy shit. This is not my night. I hold him, drawing in a lungful of air and practically writhing in need beneath him. He eases out of me and holds me for minutes, many minutes. Finally, he shakes his head and leans up on his elbows, taking some of his weight. He gazes down at me as if seeing me for the first time.
Oh, Anna, sweet Jesus.
He bends and kisses me tenderly. You okay? I breathe, caressing his lovely face. He nods, but he looks shaken and most definitely stirred. My own lost boy. He frowns and stares intently into my eyes as if finally registering where he is.
You?
He asks, concern in his voice. I wriggle beneath him, and after a moment he smiles, a slow, carnal smile.
Mrs. Gray, you have needs.
He murmurs. He kisses me swiftly, then scoots off the bed. Kneeling on the floor at the end of the bed, he reaches up, grabs me just above the knees, and pulls me toward him so my behind is on the edge of the bed.
Sit up,
he murmurs. I struggle into a sitting position, my hair falling like a veil around me, down to my breasts. His gray gaze holds mine as he gently pushes my legs apart as far as they'll go. I lean back on my hands, knowing full well what he's going to do. But he's just...
You are so fucking beautiful, Anna.
He breathes, and I watch his copper-haired head dip and plant a trail of kisses up my right thigh, heading north. My whole body clenches in anticipation. He glances up at me, his eyes darkening through long lashes.
Watch,
he rasps. Then his mouth is on me. Oh, my. I cry out as the world is concentrated at the apex of my thighs, and it's so erotic. Fuck. Watching him. Watching his tongue against what feels like the most sensitive part of my body. And he shows no mercy, teasing and taunting, worshipping me. My body tenses and my arms start to tremble from the strain of staying upright. No! Ah! I murmur. Gently, he eases one long finger inside me, and I can bear it no more, collapsing back onto the bed, relishing his mouth and fingers on and in me. Slowly and gently, he massages that sweet, sweet spot deep inside me. And that's it. I'm gone. I explode around him, crying out an incoherent rendition of his name as my intense orgasm arches my back off the bed. I think I see stars. It's such a visceral, primal feeling. Vaguely, I'm aware that he's nuzzling my belly, giving me soft, sweet kisses. Reaching down, I caress his hair.
I'm not finished with you yet,
he murmurs, and before I've fully come back to Seattle, planet Earth, he's reaching for me, grasping my hips and pulling me off the bed to where he's kneeling, into his waiting lap and onto his waiting erection. I gasp as he fills me. Holy cow.
Oh, baby.
He breathes as he wraps his arms around me and stills, cradling my head and kissing my face. He flexes his hips, and pleasure spikes hot and hard from deep within me. He reaches for my behind and lifts me, rocking his groin upward. Ah! I moan, and his lips are on mine again as he slowly, oh, so slowly, lifts and rocks, lifts and rocks. I throw my arms around his neck, surrendering to his gentle rhythm and to wherever he'll take me. I flex my thighs, riding him. He feels so good. Leaning backward, I tilt my head back, my mouth open wide in a silent expression of my pleasure, reveling in his sweet lovemaking.
Anna,
he breathes, and he leans down, kissing my throat, holding me tight, slowly easing in and out, pushing me higher and higher, so exquisitely timed, a fluid carnal force. Blissful pleasure radiates outward from deep, deep inside me as he holds me so intimately.
"I love you, Anna,"
he whispers close to my ear, his voice low and harsh, and he lifts me again, up, down, up, down. I curl my hands back around his neck into his hair. "I love you too, Christian." Opening my eyes, I find he's gazing at me, and all I see is his love, shining bright and bold in the soft glow of the playroom light, his nightmare seemingly forgotten. And as I feel my body build toward my release, I realize this is what I wanted, this connection, this demonstration of our love.
"Come for me, baby,"
he whispers, his voice low. I screw my eyes shut as my body tightens at the low sound of his voice, and I come loudly, spiraling into an intense climax. He stills, his forehead against mine, as he softly whispers my name, wraps his arms around me, and finds his own release. He lifts me gently and lays me on the bed. I lie in his arms, wrung out and finally sated. He nuzzles my neck.
"Better now,"
he whispers.
"Shall we go to bed, or do you want to sleep here?" "Mrs. Gray, talk to me."
He sounds amused.
"Is that the best you can do?" "Come, let me put you to bed. I don't like sleeping here."
Reluctantly, I shift and turn to face him. "Wait," I whisper. He blinks at me, looking all wide-eyed and innocent, and at the same time thoroughly fucked and pleased with himself. "Are you okay?" I ask. He nods, smiling smugly like an adolescent boy.
"I am now."
"Oh, Christian," I scold and gently stroke his lovely face. "I was talking about your nightmare." His expression freezes momentarily, then he closes his eyes and tightens his arms around me, burying his face in my neck.
"Don't,"
he whispers, his voice hoarse and raw. My heart lurches and twists once more in my chest, and I clutch him tightly, running my hands down his back and through his hair.
"I'm sorry,"
I whisper, alarmed by his reaction. Holy fuck. How can I keep up with these mood swings? What the hell was his nightmare about? I don't want to cause him any more pain by making him relive the details.
"It's okay," I murmur softly, desperate to bring him back to the playful boy of a moment ago.
"It's okay," I repeat over and over, soothingly.
"Let's go to bed,"
he says quietly after a while, and he pulls away from me, leaving me empty and aching as he rises from the bed. I scramble after him, keeping the satin sheet wrapped around me, and bend to pick up my clothes.
"Leave those,"
he says, and before I know it, he's scooped me up in his arms.
"I don't want you to trip over this sheet and break your neck."
I put my arms around him, marveling that he's recovered his composure, and nuzzle him as he carries me downstairs to our bedroom. My eyes spring open. Something is wrong. Christian is not in bed, though it's still dark. Glancing at the radio alarm, I see it's 3:20 in the morning. Where's Christian? Then I hear the piano. Quickly slipping out of bed, I grab my robe and run down the hallway to the great room. The tune he's playing is so sad, a mournful lament that I've heard him play before. I pause in the doorway and watch him in a pool of light while the achingly sorrowful music fills the room. He finishes, then starts the piece again. Why such a plaintive tune? I wrap my arms around myself and listen spellbound as he plays. But my heart aches. Christian, why so sad? Is it because of me? Did I do this? When he finishes, only to start a third time, I can bear it no longer. He doesn't look up as I near the piano, but shifts to one side so I can sit beside him on the piano bench. He continues to play, and I put my head on his shoulder. He kisses my hair but doesn't stop playing until he's finished the piece. I peek up at him, and he's staring down at me, warily.
"Did I wake you?"
he asks.
"Only because you were gone. What's that piece called?"
"It's Chopin. It's one of his preludes in E minor."
Christian pauses.
"It's called Suffocation."
Reaching over, I take his hand. "You're really shaken by all this, aren't you?" He snorts.
"A deranged asshole gets into my apartment to kidnap my wife. She won't do as she's told. She drives me crazy. She safe words on me."
He closes his eyes briefly, and when he opens them again, they are stark and raw.
"Yeah, I'm pretty shaken up."
I squeeze his hand. "I'm sorry." He presses his forehead against mine.
"I dreamed you were dead,"
he whispers. "What?"
"Lying on the floor, so cold, and you wouldn't wake up."
"Oh, 50. "Hey, it was just a bad dream." Reaching up, I clasp his head in my hands. His eyes burn into mine, and the anguish in them is sobering. "I'm here, and I'm cold without you in bed. Come back to bed, please." I take his hand and stand, waiting to see if he'll follow me. Finally, he stands, too. He's wearing his pajama bottoms, and they hang in that way he has, and I want to run my fingers along the inside of his waistband, but I resist and lead him back to the bedroom. When I wake, he's curled around me, sleeping peacefully. I relax and enjoy his enveloping heat, his skin on my skin. I lie very still, not wanting to disturb him. Boy, what an evening. I feel like I've been run over by a train, the freight train that is my husband. Hard to believe that the man lying beside me, looking so serene and young in his sleep, was so tortured last night. And so tortured me last night. I gaze up at the ceiling, and it occurs to me that I always think of Christian as strong and dominating. Yet the reality is, he's so fragile, my lost boy. And the irony is that he looks upon me as fragile, and I don't think I am. Compared to him, I'm strong. But am I strong enough for both of us? Strong enough to do what I'm told and give him some peace of mind? I sigh. He's not asking that much of me. I flit through our conversation of last night. Did we decide anything other than to both try harder? The bottom line is that I love this man, and I need to chart a course for both of us. One that lets me keep my integrity and independence, but still be more for him. I am his more. And he is mine. I resolve to make a special effort this weekend not to give him cause for concern. Christian stirs and lifts his head off my chest, looking sleepily at me. "Good morning, Mr. Gray," I smile.
"Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Did you sleep well?"
He stretches out beside me. "Once my husband stopped making that terrible racket on the piano, yes, I did." He smiles his shy smile, and I melt.
"Terrible racket. I'll be sure to email Miss Kathy and let her know."
"Miss Kathy?"
"My piano teacher."
I giggle.
"That's a lovely sound,"
he says.
"Shall we have a better day today?"
"Okay,"
I agree.
"What do you want to do?"
"After I have made love to my wife and she's cooked me breakfast, I'd like to take her to Aspen."
I gape at him. "Aspen?"
"Yes."
"Aspen, Colorado?"
"The very same, unless they've moved it. After all, you did pay $24,000 for the experience."
I grin at him. "That was your money."
"Our money."
"It was your money when I made the bid." I roll my eyes.
"Oh, Mrs. Gray.
You and your eye-rolling,
he whispers as he runs his hand up my thigh.
Won't it take hours to get to Colorado? I ask to distract him.
Not by jet,
he says silkily as his hand reaches my behind. Of course, my husband has a jet. How could I forget? His hand continues to skim up my body, lifting my nightdress as it goes, and soon I've forgotten everything. Taylor drives us onto the tarmac at SeaTac and around to where the GEH jet is waiting. It's a gray day in Seattle, but I refuse to let the weather dampen my soaring spirits. Christian is in a much better mood. He's excited about something, lit up like Christmas and twitching like a small boy with a big secret. I wonder what scheme he's concocted. He looks dreamy, all tousled hair, white t-shirt, and black jeans. Not CEO-like at all today. He takes my hand as Taylor glides to a stop at the foot of the jet steps.
I have a surprise for you,
he murmurs and kisses my knuckles. I grin at him. Good surprise?
I hope so.
He smiles warmly. What can it be? Sawyer leaps out from the front and opens my door. Taylor opens Christian's, then retrieves our cases from the trunk. Stefan is waiting at the top of the stairs when we enter the aircraft. I glance into the cockpit and see First Officer Bailey flipping switches on the imposing instrument panel. Christian and Stefan shake hands.
Good morning, sir.
Stefan smiles.
Thanks for doing this on such short notice.
Christian grins back at him.
Our guests here? Yes, sir.
Guests? I turn and gasp. Kate, Elliot, Mia, and Ethan are all smiling and sitting in the cream-colored leather seats. Wow! I spin around to Christian.
Surprise,
he says. How? When? Who? I mumble inarticulately, trying to contain my delight and elation.
You said you didn't see enough of your friends.
He shrugs and gives me a lopsided, apologetic smile. Oh, Christian, thank you. I throw my arms around his neck and kiss him hard in front of everyone. He puts his hands on my hips, hooking his thumbs through the belt loops of my jeans, and deepens the kiss.
Oh, my. Keep this up, and I'll drag you into the bedroom,
he murmurs. You wouldn't dare, I whisper against his lips.
Oh, Anastasia.
He grins, shaking his head. He releases me, and without further preamble, stoops down, grabs my thighs, and lifts me over his shoulder. Christian, put me down! I smack his behind. I briefly catch Stefan's smile as he turns and heads into the cockpit. Taylor is standing at the doorway, trying to stifle his grin. Ignoring my pleas and my futile struggles, Christian strides through the narrow cabin past Mia and Ethan, who are facing each other in the single seats, and past Kate and Elliot, who is whooping like a demented gibbon.
If you'll excuse me,
he says to our four guests,
I need to have a word with my wife in private.
Christian! I shout. Put me down!
All in good time, baby.
I have a brief view of Mia, Kate, and Elliot laughing. Damn it! This is not funny! It's embarrassing! Ethan gawks at us, mouth open and utterly shocked, as we disappear into the cabin. Christian closes the cabin door behind him and releases me, letting me slide down his body slowly, so that I feel every hard sinew and muscle. He gives me his boyish grin, thoroughly pleased with himself. That was quite a show, Mr. Gray. I cross my arm and regard him with faux indignation.
That was fun, Mrs. Gray.
And his grin widens. Oh, boy, he looks so young. Are you going to follow through? I arch a brow, unsure how I feel about this. I mean, the others will hear us, for heaven's sake. Suddenly, I feel shy. Glancing anxiously at the bed, I feel a blush steal across my cheeks as I recall our wedding night. We talked so much yesterday, did so much yesterday. I feel as if we leaped some unknown hurdle. But that's the problem. It's unknown. My eyes find Christian's intense but amused gaze, and I'm unable to keep a straight face. His grin is too infectious.
I think it might be rude to keep our guests waiting, he says silkily as he steps toward me.
When did he start to care what people think? I step back against the cabin wall and he imprisons me, the heat from his body holding me in place. He leans down and runs his nose along mine.
Good surprise,
he whispers, and there's a hint of anxiety in his voice. Oh, Christian, fantastic surprise. I run my hands up his chest, curl them around his neck, and kiss him. When did you organize this? I ask when I pull away from him, stroking his hair.
Last night, when I couldn't sleep, I emailed Elliot and Mia, and here they are.
It's very thoughtful. Thank you. I'm sure we'll have a great time.
I hope so. I thought it would be easier to avoid the press in Aspen than at home.
The paparazzi. He's right. If we'd stayed in Escala, we'd have been imprisoned. A shiver runs down my spine as I recollect the snapping cameras and dazzling flashes of the few photographers Taylor sped through this morning.
Come, we'd better take our seats. Stefan will be taking off shortly.
He offers me his hand, and together we walk back into the cabin. Elliot cheers as we enter.
That sure was speedy in-flight service,
he calls mockingly. Christian ignores him.
Please, be seated, ladies and gentlemen, as we'll shortly begin taxiing for takeoff.
Stefan's voice echoes calmly and authoritatively around the cabin. The brunette woman, Natalie? Who was on the flight for our wedding night appears from the galley and gathers up the discarded coffee cups. Natalia. Her name's Natalia. Good morning, Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray, she says with a purr. Why does she make me uncomfortable? Maybe it's that she's a brunette. By his own admission, Christian doesn't usually employ brunettes because he finds them attractive. He gives Natalia a polite smile as he slides in behind the table and sits down facing Elliot and Kate. I swiftly hug Kate and Mia and give Ethan and Elliot a wave before sitting down and buckling up beside Christian. He puts his hand on my knee and gives it an affectionate squeeze. He seems relaxed and happy, even though we're with company. Idly, I wonder why he can't always be like this, not controlling at all.
Hope you packed your hiking boots,
he says, his voice warm. We're not going skiing?
That would be a challenge in August,
he says, amused. Oh, of course.
Do you ski, Anna?
Elliot interrupts us. No. Christian moves his hand from my knee to clasp my hand.
I'm sure my little brother can teach you.
Elliot winks at me.
He's pretty fast on the slopes, too.
And I can't help my blush. When I glance up at Christian, he's gazing impassively at Elliot, but I think he's trying to suppress his mirth. The plane surges forward and starts taxiing toward the runway. Natalia runs through the plane's safety procedures in a clear, ringing voice. She's dressed in a neat navy short-sleeved shirt and matching pencil skirt. Her makeup is immaculate. She really is quite pretty. My subconscious raises a plucked to within an inch of its life eyebrow at me. You okay? Kate asks me pointedly. I mean, following the Hyde business? I nod. I don't want to think or talk about Hyde, but Kate seems to have other plans. So why did he go postal? She asks, cutting to the heart of the matter in her inimitable style. She tosses her hair behind her as she prepares to investigate further. Eyeing her coolly, Christian shrugs.
I fired his ass,
he says bluntly. Oh, why? Kate tilts her head to one side, and I know she's in full Nancy Drew mode. He made a pass at me, I mutter. I try to kick Kate's ankle beneath the table and miss. Shit. When? Kate glares at me. Ages ago. You never told me he made a pass at you, she splutters. I shrug apologetically. It can't just be a grudge about that, surely.
I mean, his reaction is way too extreme. Kate continues, but now she directs her questions at Christian. Is he mentally unstable? What about all the information he has on you Grays? Her grilling Christian this way makes my hackles rise, but she's already established that I know nothing, so she can't ask me. The thought is annoying.
We think there's a connection with Detroit,
Christian says mildly. Too mildly. Oh no, Kate, please give it up for now. Hyde is from Detroit, too? Christian nods. The plane accelerates, and I tighten my grip on Christian's hand. He glances at me reassuringly. He knows I hate takeoffs and landings. He squeezes my hand, and his thumb strokes my knuckles, calming me.
What do you know about him?
Elliot asks, oblivious to the fact that we're hurtling down the runway in a small jet about to launch itself into the sky, and equally oblivious to Christian's growing exasperation with Kate. Kate leans forward, listening attentively.
This is off the record, Christian says directly to her.
Kate's mouth sets in a subtle but thin line. I swallow. Oh, shit.
We know a little about him, Christian continues. His dad died in a brawl in a bar. His mother drank herself into oblivion. He was in and out of foster homes as a kid. In and out of trouble, too. Mainly boosting cars. Spent time in juvie. His mom got back on track through some outreach program, and Hyde turned himself around. Won a scholarship to Princeton.
Princeton? Kate's curiosity is piqued.
Yep, he's a bright boy.
Christian shrugs.
Not that bright. He got caught.
Elliot mutters. But surely he can't have pulled this stunt alone, Kate asks. Christian stiffens beside me.
We don't know yet.
His voice is very quiet. Holy crap. There could be someone working with him? I turn and gape in horror at Christian. He squeezes my hand once more but doesn't look me in the eye. The plane lifts smoothly into the air, and I get that horrible sinking feeling in my stomach. How old is he? I ask Christian, leaning close so only he can hear. Much as I'd like to know what's going on, I don't want to encourage Kate's questions. I know they're irritating Christian, and I'm sure she's on his shit list since Cocktail Gate.
32? Why?
Curious, that's all. Christian's jaw tightens.
Don't be curious about Hyde. I'm just glad the fucker's locked up.
It's almost a reprimand, but I choose to ignore his tone. Do you think he's working with someone? The thought that someone else might be involved makes me sick. It would mean this isn't over.
I don't know,
Christian answers, and his jaw tightens once more. Maybe someone who has a grudge against you? I suggest. Holy shit. I hope it's not the bitch troll. Like Elena? I whisper. I realize I've muttered her name out loud, but only he can hear. I glance anxiously at Kate, but she's deep in conversation with Elliot, who looks pissed at her.
You do like to demonize her, don't you?
Christian rolls his eyes and shakes his head in disgust.
She may hold a grudge, but she wouldn't do this kind of thing.
He pins me with a steady gray gaze.
Let's not discuss her. I know she's not your favorite topic of conversation.
Have you confronted her? I whisper, not sure if I really want to know.
Anna, I haven't spoken to her since my birthday party. Please, drop it. I don't want to talk about her.
He raises my hand and brushes my knuckles with his lips. His eyes burn into mine, and I know I shouldn't pursue this line of questioning right now.
Get a room,
Elliot teases.
Oh, right. You already have, but you didn't need it for long.
Christian glances up and pins Elliot with a cool glare.
Fuck off, Elliot,
he says without malice.
Dude, just telling you how it is.
Elliot's eyes light up with mirth.
Like you'd know,
Christian murmurs sardonically, raising an eyebrow. Elliot grins, enjoying the banter.
You married your first girlfriend.
Elliot gestures at me. Oh, shit. Where is this going? I flush.
Can you blame me?
Christian kisses my hand again.
No.
Elliot laughs and shakes his head. I flush, and Kate slaps Elliot's thigh.
Stop being an ass, she scolds him.
Listen to your girlfriend,
Christian says to Elliot, grinning, and his earlier concern seems to have disappeared. My ears pop as we gain altitude, and the tension in the cabin dissipates as the plane levels out. Kate scowls at Elliot. Is something up between them? I'm not sure. Elliot is right. I snort at the irony. I am, was, Christian's first girlfriend, and now I'm his wife. The 15 and the evil Mrs. Robinson, they don't count. But then Elliot doesn't know about them, and clearly Kate hasn't told him. I smile at her, and she gives me a conspiratorial wink. My secrets are safe with Kate.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be cruising at an altitude of approximately 32,000 feet, and our estimated flight time is 1 hour and 56 minutes. Stefan announces, you are now free to move around the cabin.
Natalia appears abruptly from the galley. May I offer anyone coffee? She asks. Chapter 13. We land smoothly at Sardi Field at 12:25 p.m., Mountain Standard Time. Stefan brings the plane to a halt a little way from the main terminal, and through the windows, I spot a large VW minivan waiting for us.
Good landing.
Christian grins and shakes Stefan's hand as we get ready to file out of the jet.
It's all about the density altitude, sir.
Stefan smiles back.
Bailey here is good at math.
Christian nods at Stefan's first officer.
You nailed it, Bailey. Smooth landing.
Thank you, sir. She grins smugly.
Enjoy your weekend, Mr. Gray. Mrs. Gray, we'll see you tomorrow.
Stefan steps aside to let us disembark, and, taking my hand, Christian leads me down the aircraft steps to where Taylor is waiting by the vehicle.
Minivan?
Says Christian in surprise as Taylor slides open the door. Taylor gives him a tight, contrite smile and a slight shrug.
Last minute, I know,
Christian says, immediately placated. Taylor returns to the plane to retrieve our luggage.
Want to make out in the back of the van?
Christian murmurs to me, a mischievous gleam in his eye. I giggle. Who is this man, and what has he done with Mr. Unbelievably Angry of the last couple of days? Come on, you two! Get in! Mia says from behind us, oozing impatience beside Ethan. We climb in, stagger to the double seat in the back, and sit down. I snuggle against Christian, and he puts his arm around the back of my seat.
Comfortable?
He murmurs, as Mia and Ethan take the seat in front of us. Yes, I smile, and he kisses my forehead, and for some unfathomable reason, I feel shy with him today. Why? Last night? Being with company? I can't put my finger on it. Elliot and Kate join us last as Taylor opens the lift gate to load the luggage. 5 minutes later, we are on our way. I gaze out the window as we head toward Aspen. The trees are green, but a whisper of the coming fall is evident here and there in the yellowing tips of the leaves. The sky is a clear crystal blue, though there are darkening clouds to the west. All around us in the distance loom the Rockies, the highest peak directly ahead. They're lush and green, and the highest are capped with snow and look like a child's drawing of mountains. We're in the winter playground of the rich and famous, and I own a house here. I can barely believe it. And from deep within my psyche, the familiar unease that's always present when I try to wrap my head around Christian's wealth looms and taunts me, making me feel guilty. What have I done to deserve this lifestyle? I've done nothing. Nothing except fall in love.
Have you been to Aspen before, Anna?
Ethan turns and asks, dragging me out of my reverie. No, first time. You?
Kate and I used to come here a lot when we were teens. Dad's a keen skier. Mom, less so.
I'm hoping my husband will teach me how to ski.
I glance up at my man.
Don't bet on it,
Christian mutters. I won't be that bad.
You might break your neck.
His grin gone.
Oh.
I don't want to argue and sour his good mood, so I change the subject. How long have you had this place?
Nearly 2 years. It's yours now, too, Mrs. Gray.
He says softly. I know, I whisper. But somehow I don't feel the courage of my convictions. Leaning in, I kiss his jaw and nestle once more at his side, listening to him laugh and joke with Ethan and Elliot. Mia chimes in occasionally, but Kate is quiet, and I wonder if she's brooding about Jack Hyde or something else. Then I remember. Aspen. Christian's house here was redesigned by Gia Matteo and rebuilt by Elliot. I wonder if that's what's preoccupying Kate. I can't ask her in front of Elliot, given his history with Gia. Does Kate even know about Gia's connection to the house? I frown, wondering what could be bothering her, and resolve to ask her when we're on our own. We drive through the center of Aspen, and my mood brightens as I take in the town. There are squat buildings of mostly red brick, Swiss-style chalets, and numerous little turn-of-the-century houses painted in fun colors. Plenty of banks and designer shops, too, betraying the affluence of the local populace. Of course, Christian fits in here. Why did you choose Aspen? I ask him.
What?
He regards me quizzically. To buy a place.
Mom and Dad used to bring us here when we were kids. I learned to ski here, and I like the place. I hope you do, too. Otherwise, we'll sell the house and choose somewhere else.
Simple as that. He tucks a loose strand of hair behind my ear.
You look lovely today,
he murmurs. My cheeks heat. I'm just wearing my traveling gear, jeans and a t-shirt with a lightweight navy blue jacket. Damn it, why does he make me feel shy? He kisses me, a tender, sweet, loving kiss. Taylor drives us on out of town, and we start to climb the other side of the valley, twisting along a mountain road. The higher we go, the more excited I get, and Christian tenses beside me. What's wrong? I ask as we round a bend.
I hope you like it,
he says quietly.
We're here.
Taylor slows and turns through a gateway made of gray, beige, and red stones. He heads down the driveway and finally pulls up outside the impressive house. Double-fronted, with high-pitched roofs and built of dark wood and the same mixed stone as the gateway, it's stunning, modern and stark, very much Christian's style.
Home,
he mouths at me as our guests start piling out of the van. Looks good.
Come, see,
he says, an excited, though anxious, gleam in his eyes, as if he's about to show me his science project or something. Mia runs up the steps to where a woman stands in the doorway. She's tiny, and her raven-colored hair is dusted with gray. Mia flings her arms around her neck and hugs her tightly. Who's that? I ask, as Christian helps me out of the van.
Mrs. Bentley. She lives here with her husband. They look after the place.
Holy cow. More staff? Mia is making introductions. Ethan, then Kate. Elliot hugs Mrs. Bentley, too. As Taylor unloads the van, Christian takes my hand and leads me to the front door.
Welcome back, Mr. Gray.
Mrs. Bentley smiles.
Carmela, this is my wife, Anastasia.
Christian says proudly. His tongue caresses my name, making my heart stutter.
Mrs. Gray.
Mrs. Bentley nods a respectful greeting. I hold out my hand, and we shake. It's no surprise to me that she's much more formal with Christian than the rest of the family.
I hope you've had a pleasant flight. The weather is supposed to be fine all weekend, though I'm not sure.
She eyes the darkening gray clouds behind us.
Lunch is ready whenever you want.
She smiles again, her dark eyes twinkling, and I warm to her immediately.
Here.
Christian grabs me and lifts me off my feet.
What are you doing?
I squeal.
carrying you over yet another threshold, Mrs. Gray.
I grin as he carries me into the wide hallway, and after a brief kiss, he sets me gently down onto the hardwood floor. The interior decor is stark, and reminds me of the great room at Escala, all white walls, dark wood, and contemporary abstract art. The hallway opens up into a large sitting area where three off-white leather couches surround a stone fireplace that dominates the room. The only color is from the soft cushions scattered on the couches. Mia grabs Ethan's hand and drags him farther into the house. Christian narrows his eyes at their departing figures, his mouth thinning. He shakes his head, then turns to me. Kate whistles loudly.
Nice place.
I glance around to see Elliot helping Taylor with our luggage. I wonder again if she knows that Gia had a hand in this place.
Tour?
Christian asks me, and whatever was going through his mind about Mia and Ethan is gone. He's radiating excitement. Or is it anxiety? It's difficult to tell.
Sure.
Once again, I'm overwhelmed by the wealth. How much did this place cost? And I have contributed nothing to it. Briefly, I'm transported back to the first time Christian took me to Escala. I was overwhelmed then.
You got used to it,
my subconscious hisses at me. Christian frowns, but takes my hand, leading me through the various rooms. The state-of-the-art kitchen is all pale marble countertops and black cupboards. There's an impressive wine cellar and an expansive den downstairs, complete with a large plasma screen TV, soft couches, and a billiards table. I gape at it and blush when Christian catches me.
Fancy a game?
He asks, a wicked gleam in his eye. I shake my head, and his brow furrows once more. Taking my hand again, he leads me up to the first floor. There are four bedrooms upstairs, each with an ensuite bathroom. The master suite is something else. The bed is huge, bigger than the bed at home, and faces an enormous picture window looking out over Aspen and toward the verdant mountains.
That's Ajax Mountain, or Aspen Mountain, if you like,
Christian says, eyeing me warily. He's standing in the doorway, his thumbs hooked through the belt loops on his black jeans. I nod.
You're very quiet, he murmurs.
It's lovely, Christian. And suddenly, I'm aching to be back at Escala. In five long strides, he's standing in front of me, tugging at my chin and releasing my lower lip from the grip of my teeth.
What is it?
He asks, his eyes searching mine. You're very rich.
Yes.
Sometimes it just takes me by surprise how wealthy you are.
We are.
We are, I mutter automatically.
Don't stress about this, Anna, please. It's just a house.
And what did Gia do here, exactly?
Gia?
He raises his eyebrows in surprise. Yes, she remodeled this place?
She did. She designed the den downstairs. Elliot did the build.
He rakes his hand through his hair and frowns at me.
Why are we talking about Gia?
Did you know she had a fling with Elliot? Christian gazes at me for a moment, his expression unreadable.
Elliot's fucked most of Seattle, Anna.
I gasp.
Mainly women, I understand.
Christian jokes. I think he's amused by my expression.
No!
Christian nods.
It's none of my business.
He holds his palms up. I don't think Kate knows.
I'm not sure he broadcasts that information. Kate seems to be holding her own.
I'm shocked. Sweet, unassuming, blonde, blue-eyed Elliot? I stare in disbelief. Christian tilts his head to one side, scrutinizing me.
This can't just be about Gia or Elliot's promiscuity.
I know. I'm sorry. After all that's happened this week, it's just... I shrug, feeling tearful all of a sudden. Christian seems to sag with relief. Pulling me into his arms, he holds me tightly, his nose in my hair.
I know. I'm sorry, too. Let's relax and enjoy ourselves, okay? You can stay here and read, watch god-awful TV, shop, go hiking, fishing even, whatever you want to do, and forget what I said about Elliot. That was indiscreet of me.
Goes some way to explain why he's always teasing you, I murmur, nuzzling his chest.
He really has no idea about my past. I told you, my family assumed I was gay. Celibate, but gay.
I giggle and begin to relax in his arms. I thought you were celibate. How wrong I was. I wrap my arms around him, marveling at the ridiculousness of Christians being gay.
Mrs. Gray, are you smirking at me?
Maybe a little, I acquiesce. You know, what I don't understand is why you have this place.
What do you mean?
He kisses my hair. You have the boat, which I get. You have the place in New York for business. But why here? It's not like you shared it with anyone. Christian stills and is silent for several beats.
I was waiting for you,
he says softly, his eyes dark gray and luminous. That's such a lovely thing to say.
It's true. I didn't know it at the time.
He smiles his shy smile. I'm glad you waited.
You are worth waiting for, Mrs. Gray.
He tips my chin up with his finger, leans down, and kisses me tenderly. So are you, I smile, though I feel like I cheated. I didn't have to wait long for you at all. He grins.
Am I that much of a prize?
Christian, you are the state lottery, the cure for cancer, and the three wishes from Aladdin's lamp, all rolled into one. He raises a brow. When will you realize this? I scold him. You were a very eligible bachelor, and I don't mean all this. I wave dismissively at our plush surroundings. I mean in here. I place my hand over his heart, and his eyes widen. My confident, sexy husband has gone, and I'm facing my lost boy. Believe me, Christian. Please. I whisper and clasp his face, pulling his lips to mine. He groans, and I don't know if it's hearing what I've said or his usual primal response. I claim him, my lips moving against his, my tongue invading his mouth. When we're both breathless, he pulls away, eyeing me doubtfully. When are you going to get it through your exceptionally thick skull that I love you? I ask, exasperated. He swallows.
One day, he says.
This is progress. I smile and am rewarded with his answering shy smile.
Come, let's have some lunch. The others will be wondering where we are. We can discuss what we all want to do.
Oh, no, Kate says suddenly. All eyes turn to her. Look, she says, pointing to the picture window. Outside, rain has started pouring down. We are sitting around the dark wood table in the kitchen, having consumed an Italian feast of a mixed antipasto prepared by Mrs. Bentley and a bottle or two of Frascati. I'm replete and a little buzzed from the alcohol.
There goes our hike, Elliot mutters, sounding vaguely relieved.
Kate scowls at him. Something is definitely up with them. They have been relaxed with all of us, but not with each other. We could go into town, Mia pipes up. Ethan smirks at her.
Perfect weather for fishing, Christian suggests.
I'll go fish,
Ethan says. Let's split up, Mia claps her hands. Girls, shopping. Boys, outdoor boring stuff. I glance at Kate, who regards Mia indulgently. Fishing or shopping? Geez, what a choice.
Anna, what do you want to do?
Christian asks. I don't mind, I lie. Kate catches my eye and mouths, shopping. Perhaps she wants to talk. But I'm more than happy to go shopping. I smile wryly at Kate and Mia. Christian smirks. He knows I hate shopping.
I can stay here with you, if you'd like,
he murmurs, and something dark unfurls in my belly at his tone. No, you go fish, I answer. Christian needs boy time. Sounds like a plan, Kate says, rising from the table.
Taylor will accompany you,
Christian says, and it's a given, not up for discussion. We don't need babysitting, Kate retorts bluntly, direct as ever. I put my hand on Kate's arm. Kate, Taylor should come. She frowns, then shrugs, and for once in her life holds her tongue. I smile timidly at Christian. His expression remains impassive. Oh, I hope he's not mad at Kate. Elliot frowns.
I need to pick up a battery for my watch in town.
He glances quickly at Kate, and I spot his slight blush. She doesn't notice because she is pointedly ignoring him.
Take the Audi, Elliot. When you come back, we can go fishing,
Christian says.
Yeah,
Elliot mutters, but he seems distracted.
Good plan.
In here! Grabbing my hand, Mia hauls me into a designer boutique that's all pink silk and faux-fringe distressed rustic furniture. Kate follows us while Taylor waits outside, sheltering under the awning from the rain. Aretha is belting out Say a Little Prayer over the store's hi-fi system. I love this song. I should put it on Christian's iPod. This will look wonderful on you, Anna. Mia holds up a scrap of silver material. Here, try it on. It's a bit short. You'll look fantastic in it. Christian will love it. You think? Mia beams at me. Anna, you have legs to die for, and if we go clubbing tonight... She smiles, sensing an easy kill. You'll look hot for your husband. I blink at her, slightly shocked. We're going clubbing? I don't do clubbing. Kate laughs at my expression. She seems more relaxed now that she's away from Elliot. We should throw some shapes this evening, she says. Go! Try it on! Mia orders, and reluctantly, I head for the changing room. While I wait for Kate and Mia to emerge from the dressing room, I stroll to the shop window and look out, unseeing, across the main street. The soul compilation continues. Dionne Warwick is singing Walk On By, another great song, one of my mother's favorites. I glance down at the dress in my hand. Dress is perhaps an overstatement. It's backless and very short, but Mia has declared it a winner, perfect for dancing the night away. Apparently, I need shoes, too, and a large, chunky necklace, which we'll source next. Rolling my eyes, I reflect once more on how lucky I am to have Caroline Acton, my own personal shopper. Through the boutique window, I'm distracted by the sight of Elliot. He has appeared on the other side of the leafy main street, climbing out of a large Audi. He dives into a store as if to duck out of the rain. Looks like a jewelry store. Maybe he's looking for that watch battery. He emerges a few minutes later and not alone, with a woman. Fuck! He's talking to Gia! What the hell is she doing here? As I watch, they hug briefly and she holds her head back, laughing animatedly at something he says. He kisses her on the cheek and then runs to the waiting car. She turns and heads down the street, and I gape after her. What was that about? I turn anxiously toward the dressing rooms, but there's still no sign of Kate or Mia. I glance at Taylor, where he's waiting outside the store. He catches my eye, then shrugs. He's witnessed Elliot's little encounter, too. I blush, embarrassed to have been caught snooping. Turning back, Mia and Kate emerge, both of them laughing. Kate looks at me quizzically. What's wrong, Anna? She asks.
You gone cold on the dress? You look sensational in it. No.
Are you okay?
Kate's eyes widen. I'm fine. Shall we pay? I head to the cashier, joining Mia, who has chosen two skirts.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
The young sales assistant, who has more gloss coating her lips than I have ever seen in one place, smiles at me.
That'll be $850.
What? For this scrap of material? I blink at her and meekly hand over my black Amex.
Mrs. Gray.
Miss Lipgloss purrs. I follow Kate and Mia in a daze for the next 2 hours, warring with myself. Should I tell Kate? My subconscious firmly shakes her head. Yes, I should tell her. No, I shouldn't. It could just have been an innocent meeting. Shit! What should I do?
Well, do you like the shoes, Anna?
Mia has her fists on her hips. Yeah, sure. I end up with a pair of unfeasibly high Manolo Blahniks with straps that look like they were made from mirrors. They match the dress perfectly and set Christian back just over $1,000. I'm luckier with the long silver chain that Kate insists I buy. It's a bargain at $84.
Getting used to having money? Kate asks, not unkindly, as we walk back to the car.
Mia has skipped ahead.
You know this isn't me, Kate. I'm kind of uncomfortable about all this, but I'm reliably informed it's part of the package.
I purse my lips at her, and she puts her arm around me.
You'll get used to it, Anna, she says sympathetically. You'll look great.
Kate, how are you and Elliot getting along? I ask. Her wide blue eyes dart to mine.
Oh, no.
She shakes her head.
I don't want to talk about it now.
She nods toward Mia.
But things are...
She doesn't finish her sentence. This is unlike my tenacious Kate.
Shit. I knew something was up. Do I tell her what I saw? What did I see?
Elliot and Miss Well-Groomed Sexual Predator talking, hugging, and that kiss on the cheek. Surely they are just old friends.
No, I won't tell her. Not right now.
I give her my, I completely understand and will respect your privacy nod. She reaches for my hand and gives it a grateful squeeze. And there it is, a swift glimpse of pain and hurt in her eyes that she quickly stifles with a blink. I feel a sudden surge of protectiveness for my dear friend. What the hell is Elliot Manhor Gray playing at?
Once back at the house, Kate decides we deserve cocktails after our shopping extravaganza and whips up some strawberry daiquiris for us. We curl up on the sitting room couches in front of the blazing log fire.
Elliot has just been a little distant lately, Kate murmurs, gazing into the flames. Kate and I finally have a moment to ourselves as Mia puts away her purchases.
Oh?
And I think I'm in trouble for getting you into trouble.
You heard about that?
Yes. Christian called Elliot. Elliot called me. I roll my eyes. Oh, 50-50-50.
I'm sorry. Christian is protective. You haven't seen Elliot since Cocktailgate?
No.
Oh.
I really like him, Anna, she whispers.
And for one dreadful minute, I think she's going to cry. This is not like Kate.
Does this mean the return of the pink pajamas?
She turns to me.
I've fallen in love with him. At first, I thought it was just the great sex. But he's charming and kind and warm and funny. I could see us growing old together. You know, kids, grandkids, the works.
You're happily ever after, I whisper. She nods sadly.
Maybe you should talk to him. Try to find some alone time here. Find out what's eating him.
Who's eating him?
my subconscious snarls. I slap her down, shocked at the waywardness of my own thoughts.
Perhaps you guys could go for a walk tomorrow morning?
We'll see.
Kate, I hate seeing you like this.
She smiles weakly, and I lean over to hug her. I resolve not to mention Gia, though I might mention it to the man-whore himself. How can he mess with my friend's affections like this?
Mia returns, and we move on to safer territory. The fire hisses and spits sparks onto the hearth as I feed it the last log. We're almost out of wood. Even though it's summer, the fire is very welcome on this wet day.
Mia, do you know where the wood for the fire is kept? I ask as she sips her daiquiri.
I think it's in the garage.
I'll go find some. It'll give me an opportunity to explore. The rain has eased off when I venture outside and head to the three-car garage adjoining the house. The side door is unlocked and I enter, switching on the light to fight the gloom. The fluorescent strips ping noisily to life. There's a car in the garage, and I realize it's the Audi I saw Elliot in this afternoon. There are also two snowmobiles, but what really grabs my attention are the two trail bikes, both 125cc. Memories of Ethan bravely endeavoring to teach me how to ride last summer flash through my mind. Unconsciously, I rub my arm where I badly bruised it in a fall.
You ride?
Elliot asks from behind me. I whirl around. You're back.
It would appear so.
He grins, and I realize that Christian might say the same thing to me, but without the huge, heart-melting grin.
Well?
He asks. Man-whore.
Sort of.
Do you want a go?
I snort. No. I don't think Christian would be very happy if I did.
Christian's not here.
Elliot smirks. Oh, it's a family trait. And waves his arm to indicate we're alone. He strolls toward the nearest bike and swings a long, denim-clad leg over the saddle, sitting astride and grabbing the handlebars.
Christian has, issues about my safety. I shouldn't.
You always do what he says?
Elliot has a wicked sparkle in his baby blue eyes, and I see a glimmer of the bad boy Kate has fallen in love with, the bad boy from Detroit.
No, I arch an admonishing brow at him, but I'm trying to put that right. He has enough to worry about without adding me to the mix. Is he back?
I don't know.
You didn't go fishing?
Elliot shakes his head.
I had some business to deal with in town.
Business? Holy shit. Groomed blonde business. I inhale sharply and gape at him.
If you don't want to ride, what are you doing in the garage?
Elliot is intrigued. I'm looking for wood for the fire.
There you are.
Oh, Elliot, you're back. Kate interrupts us.
Hey, baby.
He smiles broadly.
Catch anything?
I scrutinize Elliot's reaction.
No, I had a few things to take care of in town.
And for one brief moment, I see a flash of uncertainty cross his face.
Oh, shit.
I came out to see what was keeping Anna. Kate looks at us, confused.
We were just shooting the breeze,
Elliot says, and the tension crackles between them. We all pause as we hear a car pull up outside.
Oh, Christian's back. Thank heavens.
The garage door opener whirs loudly into action, startling us all, and the door slowly lifts to reveal Christian and Ethan unloading a black flatbed truck. Christian stops when he sees us standing in the garage.
Garage band?
He asks sardonically as he wanders in, heading straight for me. I grin. I am relieved to see him. Beneath his wading jacket, he's wearing the coveralls I sold him at Clayton's.
Hi,
he says, looking quizzically at me and ignoring both Kate and Elliot.
Hi. Nice coveralls.
Lots of pockets. Very handy for fishing.
His voice is soft and seductive, for my ears only, and when he gazes down at me, his expression is hot. I flush, and he smiles a huge, no-holds-barred, all-for-me smile. "You're wet," I murmur.
"It was raining. What are you guys doing in the garage?"
Finally, he acknowledges that we are not alone.
"Anna came to fetch some wood."
Elliot arches an eyebrow. Somehow, he manages to make that sentence sound smutty.
"I tried to tempt her to take a ride."
He is master of the double entendre. Christian's face falls and my heart stills.
"She said no, that you wouldn't like it,"
Elliot says kindly and innuendo-free. Christian's gray gaze swings back to me.
"Did she now?"
he murmurs. "Listen, I'm all for standing around discussing what Anna did next, but shall we go back inside?" Kate snaps. She stoops down, snatches up two logs, and turns on her heel, stomping toward the door. Oh, shit. Kate is mad. But I know it's not at me. Elliot sighs and, without a word, follows her out. I gaze after them, but Christian distracts me.
"You can ride a motorcycle?"
he asks, his voice laced with disbelief. "Not very well. Ethan taught me." His eyes frost immediately.
"You made the right decision,"
he says, his voice much cooler.
"The ground's very hard at the moment, and the rain's made it treacherous and slippery." "Where do you want the fishing gear?"
Ethan calls from outside.
"Leave it, Ethan. Taylor will take care of it." "What about the fish?"
Ethan continues, his voice vaguely taunting. "You caught a fish?" I ask, surprised.
"Not me. Kavanaugh did."
And Christian pouts, prettily. I burst out laughing.
"Mrs. Bentley will deal with that,"
he calls back. Ethan grins and heads into the house.
"Am I amusing you, Mrs. Gray?"
"Very much so. You're wet. Let me run you a bath."
"As long as you join me."
He leans down and kisses me. I fill the large, egg-shaped tub in the ensuite bathroom and pour in some expensive bath oil, which starts to foam immediately. The aroma is heavenly. Jasmine, I think. Back in the bedroom, I start to hang the dress while the bath fills.
"Did you have a good time?"
Christian asks as he enters the room. He's just in a t-shirt and sweatpants, his feet bare. He closes the door behind him. "Yes," I murmur, drinking him in. I have missed him. Ridiculous. It's only been, what, a few hours? He cocks his head to one side and gazes at me.
"What is it?"
"I was thinking how much I've missed you."
"You sound like you have it bad, Mrs. Gray."
"I have, Mr. Gray." He strolls toward me until he's standing in front of me.
"What did you buy?"
he whispers, and I know it's to change the topic of conversation. "A dress, some shoes, a necklace. I spent a great deal of your money." I glance up at him, guiltily. He's amused.
"Good,"
he murmurs, and tucks a stray lock of hair behind my ear.
"And for the billionth time, our money."
He tugs my chin, releasing my lip from my teeth, and runs his index finger down the front of my t-shirt, down my sternum, between my breasts, down my stomach, and over my belly to the hem.
"You won't be needing this in the bath,"
he whispers, and gripping the hem of my t-shirt in both hands, slowly pulls it up.
"Lift your arms."
I comply, not taking my eyes off his, and he drops my t-shirt on the floor. "I thought we were just having a bath." My pulse quickens.
"I want to make you good and dirty first. I've missed you too."
He leans down and kisses me. "Shit! The water!" I struggle to sit up, all post-orgasmic and dazed. Christian doesn't release me. "Christian! The bath!" I gaze down at him from my prone position across his chest. He laughs.
Relax. It's a wet room.
He rolls over and kisses me quickly.
I'll switch off the faucet.
He climbs gracefully off the bed and strolls into the bathroom. My eyes greedily follow him all the way. My husband, naked and soon to be wet. I bound out of bed. We sit at opposite ends of the bath, which is very full. So full that whenever we move, water leaps over the side and splashes to the floor. It's very decadent. Even more decadent is Christian washing my feet, massaging the soles, pulling gently on my toes. He kisses each one and gently bites my little toe. Ah! I feel it. There, in my groin.
Like that?
He breathes. I mumble incoherently. He starts massaging again. Oh, this feels good. I close my eyes. I saw Gia in town, I murmur.
Really? I think she has a place here,
he says dismissively. He's not interested in the slightest. She was with Elliot. Christian stops massaging. That got his attention. When I open my eyes, his head is inclined to one side, like he doesn't understand.
What do you mean, with Elliot?
He asks, perplexed rather than concerned. I explain what I saw.
Anna, they're just friends. I think Elliot is pretty stuck on Kate.
He pauses, then adds more quietly.
In fact, I know he's pretty stuck on her.
And he gives me his, I have no idea why, look. Kate is gorgeous, I bristle, championing my friend. He snorts.
Still glad it was you who fell into my office.
He kisses my big toe, releases my left foot, and picks up my right before beginning the massage process again. His fingers are so strong and supple. I relax again. I do not want to fight about Kate. I close my eyes and let his fingers work their magic on my feet. I gape at myself in the full-length mirror, not recognizing the vixen that stares back at me. Kate has gone all out and played Barbie with me this evening, styling my hair and makeup. My hair is full and straight, my eyes ringed with kohl, my lips scarlet red. I look hot. I'm all legs, especially in the high-heeled Manolos and my indecently short dress. I need Christian to approve, though I have a horrible feeling he won't like so much of my flesh exposed. In view of our entente cordiale, I decide I should ask him. I pick up my BlackBerry. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, does my butt look big in this? Date, August 27th, 2011, 18:53, Mountain Standard Time. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, I need your sartorial advice. Yours, Mrs. G. X. From Christian Gray. Subject, peachy. Date, August 27th, 2011, 18:55, Mountain Standard Time. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, I seriously doubt it, but I will come and give your butt a thorough examination, just to make sure. Yours in anticipation, Mr. G. X.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings and Butt Inspectorate, Inc. As I read his email, the bedroom door opens and Christian freezes on the threshold. His mouth pops open and his eyes widen. Holy crap, this could go either way. Well, I whisper.
Anna, you look... wow.
You like it?
Yes, I guess so.
He's a little hoarse. Slowly, he steps into the room and closes the door. He's wearing black jeans and a white shirt, but with a black jacket. He looks divine. He stalks slowly toward me, but as soon as he reaches me, he puts his hands on my shoulders and turns me around to face the full-length mirror, while he stands behind me.
My gaze finds his in the glass. Then he glances down, fascinated by my naked back. His finger glides down my spine and reaches the edge of my dress at the small of my back, where pale flesh meets silver cloth.
"This is very revealing,"
he murmurs. His hand skims lower, over my backside and down to my naked thigh. He pauses, gray eyes burning intently into blue. Then slowly he trails his fingers back up to the hem of my skirt. Watching his long fingers move lightly, teasingly across my skin, feeling the tingles they leave in their wake, my mouth forms a perfect O.
"It's not far from here."
He touches the hem, then moves his fingers higher.
"To here,"
he whispers. I gasp as his fingers stroke my sex, moving tantalizingly over my panties, feeling me, teasing me.
"And your point is?"
I whisper.
"My point is, it's not far from here."
His fingers glide over my panties, then one is inside against my soft, dampened flesh.
"To here, and then to here."
He slips a finger inside me. I gasp and make a soft, mewling sound.
"This is mine,"
he murmurs in my ear. Closing his eyes, he moves his finger slowly in and out of me.
"I don't want anyone else to see this."
My breath stutters, my panting matching the rhythm of his finger. Watching him in the mirror, doing this, it's beyond erotic.
"So, be a good girl and don't bend down, and you should be fine."
"You approve?" I whisper.
"No, but I'm not going to stop you from wearing it. You look stunning, Anastasia."
Abruptly, he withdraws his finger, leaving me wanting more, and he moves around to face me. He places the tip of his invading finger on my lower lip. Instinctively, I pucker my lips and kiss it, and I'm rewarded with a wicked grin. He puts his finger in his mouth, and his expression informs me that I taste good. Real good. I flush. Will it always shock me when he does that? He grasps my hand.
"Come,"
he orders softly. I want to retort that I was about to, but in light of what happened in the playroom yesterday, I decide against it. We are waiting for dessert in a plush, exclusive restaurant in town. It's been a lively evening so far, and Mia is determined it should continue and that we must go clubbing. Right now, she's sitting silently for once, hanging on Ethan's every word as he and Christian talk. Mia is obviously infatuated with Ethan, and Ethan is, well, it's difficult to tell. I don't know if they are just friends or if there's something more. Christian seems at ease. He's been talking animatedly with Ethan. They obviously bonded over the fly fishing. They're talking about psychology mainly. Ironically, Christian sounds the more knowledgeable. I snort softly as I half-listen to their conversation, sadly acknowledging that his expertise is the result of experience with so many shrinks.
"You're the best therapy."
His words, whispered while we were making love once, echo in my head.
"Am I? Oh, Christian, I hope so."
I glance over at Kate. She looks beautiful, but then she always does. She and Elliot are less lively. He seems nervous, his jokes a little too loud and his laugh a little off. Have they had a fight? What's eating him? Is it that woman? My heart sinks at the thought that he might hurt my best friend. I glance at the entrance, half expecting to see Gia calmly saunter her well-groomed ass across the restaurant to us. My mind is playing tricks. I suspect it's the amount of alcohol I've had. My head is beginning to ache. Abruptly, Elliot startles us all by standing and pulling his chair back so it scrapes across the tile floor. All eyes turn to him. He gazes down at Kate for one moment, and then drops to one knee beside her.
"Oh. My. God."
He reaches for her hand, and silence settles like a blanket over the entire restaurant,
as everyone stops eating, stops talking, stops walking, and stares.
My beautiful Kate, I love you. Your grace, your beauty, and your fiery spirit have no equal, and you have captured my heart. Spend your life with me. Marry me.
Holy shit! Chapter 14. The attention of the entire restaurant is trained on Kate and Elliot, waiting with bated breath as one. The anticipation is unbearable. Silence stretches like a taut rubber band. The atmosphere is oppressive, apprehensive, and yet hopeful. Kate stares blankly at Elliot as he gazes up at her, his eyes wide with longing, fear even. Holy crap, Kate! Put him out of his misery, please! Jeez, he could have asked her privately. A single tear trickles down her cheek, though she remains expressionless. Shit! Kate crying? Then she smiles, a slow, disbelieving, I've found Nirvana smile. Yes, she whispers, a breathy, sweet acceptance, not Kate-like at all. For one nanosecond, there's a pause as the entire restaurant exhales a collective sigh of relief, and then the noise is deafening. Spontaneous applause, cheering, catcalls, whooping, and suddenly I have tears rolling down my face, smudging my Barbie meets Joan Jett makeup. Oblivious to the commotion around them, the two are locked in their own little world. From his pocket, Elliot produces a small box, opens it, and presents it to Kate. A ring. And from what I can see, an exquisite ring. But I need a closer look. Is that what he was doing with Gia? Choosing a ring? Shit. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't tell Kate. Kate looks from the ring to Elliot, then throws her arms around his neck. They kiss, remarkably chaste for them, and the crowd goes wild. Elliot stands and acknowledges the approbation with a surprisingly graceful bow, and then, wearing a huge, self-satisfied grin, sits back down. I can't take my eyes off them. Taking the ring out of its box, Elliot gently slides it onto Kate's finger, and they kiss once more. Christian squeezes my hand. I didn't realize I'd been gripping his so tightly. I release him, a little embarrassed, and he shakes his hand, mouthing, "Ow!" "Sorry, did you know about this?" I whisper. Christian smiles, and I know that he did. He summons the waiter.
"Two bottles of the Cristal, please. The 2002, if you have it."
I smirk at him.
"What?"
he asks. "Because the 2002 is so much better than the 2003? I tease. He laughs.
"To the discerning palate, Anastasia."
"You have a very discerning palate, Mr. Gray, and singular tastes." I smile.
"That I do, Mrs. Gray."
He leans in close.
"You taste best,"
he whispers, and he kisses a certain spot behind my ear, sending little shivers down my spine. I blush scarlet and fondly remember his earlier demonstration of the quite literal shortcomings of my dress. Mia is the first up to hug Kate and Elliot, and we all take turns congratulating the happy couple. I clutch Kate in a fierce hug. "See? He was just worried about his proposal," I whisper. "Oh, Anna!" She giggle sobs. "Kate, I am so happy for you. Congratulations." Christian is behind me. He shakes Elliot's hand, then, surprising both Elliot and me, pulls him into a hug. I can only just catch what he says.
"Way to go, Lelliot,"
he murmurs. Elliot says nothing, for once stunned into silence, then warmly returns his brother's hug. "Lelliot?"
"Thanks, Christian," Elliot chokes out.
Christian gives Kate a brief, if awkward, almost arm's-length hug. I know that Christian's attitude toward Kate is tolerant, at best, and ambivalent most of the time, so this is progress. Releasing her, he says, so quietly only she and I can hear,
I hope you are as happy in your marriage as I am in mine.
Thank you, Christian. I hope so, too, she says graciously. The waiter has returned with the champagne, which he proceeds to open with an understated flourish. Christian holds his champagne flute aloft.
To Kate and my dear brother Elliot, congratulations.
We all sip. Well, I glug.
Mmm, Christelle tastes so good. And I'm reminded of the first time I drank it at Christian's club and, later, our eventful elevator journey to the first floor.
Christian frowns at me.
What are you thinking about?
He whispers. The first time I drank this champagne. His frown becomes more quizzical.
We were at your club?
I prompt. He grins.
Oh, yes. I remember.
He winks at me.
Elliot, have you set a date?
Mia pipes up. Elliot gives his sister an exasperated stare.
I've only just asked Kate, so we'll get back to you on that, okay?
Oh, make it a Christmas wedding. That would be so romantic, and you'd have no trouble remembering your anniversary.
Mia claps her hands.
I'll take that under advisement.
Elliot smirks at her.
After the champagne, can we please go clubbing?
Mia turns and gives Christian her biggest, brown-eyed look.
I think we should ask Elliot and Kate what they'd like to do.
As one, we turn expectantly to them. Elliot shrugs and Kate turns puce. Her carnal intent toward her fiancé is so clear, I nearly spit $400 champagne all over the table. Zax is the most exclusive nightclub in Aspen, or so says Mia. Christian strolls to the front of the short line with his arm wrapped around my waist and is immediately granted access. I wonder briefly if he owns the place. I glance at my watch, 11:30 in the evening, and I'm feeling fuzzy. The two glasses of champagne and several glasses of Pouilly Fumé during our meal are starting to have an effect, and I'm grateful Christian has his arm around me.
Mr. Gray, welcome back,
says a very attractive, leggy blonde in black satin hot pants, matching sleeveless shirt, and a little red bow tie. She smiles broadly, revealing perfect all-American teeth between scarlet lips that match her bow tie.
Max will take your coat.
A young man dressed entirely in black, fortunately not satin, smiles as he offers to take my coat. His dark eyes are warm and inviting. I am the only one wearing a coat. Christian insisted I take Mia's trench coat to cover my behind, so Max has to deal only with me.
Nice coat,
he says, gazing at me intently. Beside me, Christian bristles and fixes Max with a back-off-now glare. He reddens and quickly hands Christian my coat check ticket.
Let me show you to your table.
Miss Satin Hot Pants flutters her eyelashes at my husband, flicks her long blonde hair, and sashays through the entryway. I tighten my grip around Christian, and he gazes down at me questioningly for a moment, then smirks as we follow Miss Satin Hot Pants into the bar. The lighting is muted, the walls are black, and the furnishings deep red. There are booths flanking two sides of the walls and a large U-shaped bar in the middle. It's busy, given that we're here off-season, but not too crowded with the well-heeled of Aspen out for a good time on a Saturday night. The dress code is relaxed, and for the first time, I feel a little over, underdressed. I'm not sure which. The floor and walls vibrate with the music pulsing from the dance floor behind the bar, and lights are whirling and flashing on and off. In my heady state, I idly think it's an epileptic's nightmare. Satin Hot Pants leads us to a corner booth that's been roped off. It's near the bar with access to the dance floor, clearly the best seats in the house.
There'll be someone along to take your order shortly.
She gives us her full megawatt smile and, with a final flutter of eyelashes at my husband, sachets back from where she came. Mia is already jigging from foot to foot, itching to get onto the dance floor, and Ethan takes pity on her.
Champagne?
Christian asks as they head off, holding hands toward the dance floor. Ethan gives him a thumbs up, and Mia nods enthusiastically. Kate and Elliot sit back on the soft velvet seating, hand in hand. They look so happy, their features soft and radiant in the glow from the tea lights flickering in crystal holders on the low table. Christian gestures for me to sit, and I scoot in beside Kate. He takes a seat beside me and anxiously scans the room.
Show me your ring!
I raise my voice over the music. I will be hoarse by the time we leave. Kate beams at me and holds up her hand. The ring is exquisite. A single solitaire in a fine, elaborate claw, with tiny diamonds on either side. It has a retro-Victorian look to it.
It's beautiful.
She nods in delight and, reaching over, squeezes Elliot's thigh. He leans down and kisses her.
Get a room!
I call out. Elliot grins. A young woman with short dark hair and a mischievous smile, wearing the regulation black satin hot pants, comes to take our order.
What do you want to drink?
Christian asks.
You're not picking up the tab for this, too,
Elliot grumbles.
Don't start that shit, Elliot,
Christian says mildly. Despite the objections of Kate, Elliot, and Ethan, Christian has paid for the meal we just consumed. He simply waved them aside and would not hear of anyone else paying. I gaze at him lovingly. My 50 shades, always in control. Elliot opens his mouth to say something, but, wisely, perhaps, closes it again.
I'll have a beer,
he says.
Kate?
Christian asks.
More champagne, please. The Cristal is delicious, but I'm sure Ethan would prefer a beer.
She smiles sweetly, yes, sweetly, at Christian. She is incandescent with happiness. I feel it radiating off her, and it's a pleasure to bask in her joy.
Anna?
Champagne, please.
Bottle of Cristal, 3 Peronis, and a bottle of iced mineral water, 6 glasses,
he says, in his usual, authoritative, no-nonsense manner. It's kinda hot.
Thank you, sir. Coming right up.
Miss Hot Pants number 2 gives him a gracious smile, but he's spared the fluttering of eyelashes, though her cheeks redden a little. I shake my head in resignation. He's mine, girlfriend.
What?
He asks me. She didn't flutter her eyelashes at you. I smirk.
Oh, was she supposed to?
He asks, failing to hide his mirth. Women usually do. My tone is ironic. He grins.
Mrs. Gray, are you jealous?
Not in the slightest. I pout at him, and I realize in that moment that I am beginning to tolerate women ogling my husband. Almost. Christian clasps my hand and kisses my knuckles.
You have nothing to be jealous of, Mrs. Gray.
He murmurs close to my ear, his breath tickling me.
I know.
Good.
The waitress returns, and moments later I'm sipping another glass of champagne.
Here.
Christian hands me a glass of water.
Drink this.
I frown at him and see, rather than hear, his sigh.
3 glasses of white wine at dinner and 2 of champagne, after a strawberry daiquiri and 2 glasses of frascati at lunchtime. Drink. Now, Anna.
How does he know about the cocktails this afternoon?
I scowl at him, but actually, he does have a point. Taking the glass of water, I down it in a most unladylike manner to register my protest at being told what to do. Again. I wipe my hand across the back of my mouth.
Good girl,
he says, smirking.
You've vomited on me once already. I don't wish to experience that again in a hurry.
I don't know what you're complaining about. You got to sleep with me. He smiles and his eyes soften.
Yeah, I did.
Ethan and Mia are back.
Ethan's had enough for now. Come on, girls. Let's hit the floor. Strike a pose. Throw some shapes. Work off the calories from the chocolate mousse.
Kate stands immediately.
Coming?
She asks Elliot.
Let me watch you,
he says, and I have to look away quickly, blushing at the look he gives her. She grins as I stand. I'm going to burn some calories, I say, and leaning down, I whisper in Christian's ear, You can watch me.
Don't bend over,
he growls. Okay. I stand abruptly. Whoa. Head rush. And I clutch Christian's shoulder as the room shifts and tilts a little.
Perhaps you should have some more water,
Christian murmurs, a warning clear in his voice. I'm fine. These seats are low and my heels are high. Kate takes my hand, and taking a deep breath, I follow her and Mia, perfectly poised, onto the dance floor. The music is pulsing, a techno beat with a thumping bass line. The dance floor isn't crowded, which means we have some space. The mix is eclectic, young and old alike dancing the night away. I have never been a good dancer. In fact, it's only since I've been with Christian that I dance at all. Kate hugs me.
I'm so happy,
she shouts over the music, and she starts to dance. Mia is doing what Mia does, grinning at the pair of us, throwing herself around. Geez, she's taking up a lot of room on the dance floor. I glance back toward the table. Our men are watching us. I start to move. It's a pulsing rhythm. I close my eyes and surrender to it. I open my eyes to find the dance floor filling up. Kate, Mia, and I are forced closer together. And to my surprise, I find I'm actually enjoying myself. I begin to move a little more, bravely. Kate gives me two thumbs up, and I beam back at her. I close my eyes. Why did I spend the first 20 years of my life not doing this? I chose reading over dancing. Jane Austen didn't have great music to move to, and Thomas Hardy, geez, he'd have felt guilty as sin that he wasn't dancing with his first wife. I giggle at the thought. It's Christian. He has given me this confidence in my body and how I can move it. Suddenly, there are two hands on my hips. I grin. Christian has joined me. I wiggle. His hands move to my behind and squeeze, then back to my hips. I open my eyes, and Mia is gaping at me in horror. Shit! Am I that bad? I reach down to hold Christian's hands. They're hairy. Fuck! They're not his! I whirl around, and towering over me is a blonde giant with more teeth than is natural and a leering smile to showcase them. Get your hands off me! I scream over the pounding music, apoplectic with rage.
Come on, sugar. It's just some fun.
He smiles, holding his ape-like hands up, his blue eyes gleaming under the pulsing ultraviolet lights. Before I know what I'm doing, I slap him hard across the face. Ow! Shit! My hand! It stings!
Get away from me!
I shout. He gazes down at me, cupping his red cheek. I thrust my uninjured hand in front of his face, spreading my fingers to show him my rings.
I'm married, you asshole!
He shrugs rather arrogantly and gives me a half-hearted apologetic smile. I glance around frantically. Mia is at my right, glaring at blonde giant. Kate is lost in the moment doing her thing. Christian is not at the table. Oh, I hope he's gone to the restroom. I step back into a front I know well. Oh, shit. Christian puts his arm around my waist and moves me to his side.
Keep your fucking hands off my wife,
he says. He's not shouting, but somehow he can be heard over the music. Holy shit.
She can take care of herself,
blonde giant shouts. His hand moves from his cheek where I've slapped him, and Christian hits him. It's like I'm watching it in slow motion, a perfectly timed punch to the chin that moves at such speed, but with so little wasted energy. Blonde giant doesn't see it coming. He crumples to the floor like the scumbag he is. Fuck.
Christian, no!
I gasp in panic, standing in front of him to hold him back.
Shit, he'll kill him. I already hit him,
I shout over the music. Christian doesn't look at me. He's glaring at my assailant with a malevolence I've not seen before flaring in his eyes. Well, maybe once before, after Jack Hyde made a pass at me. The other dancers move outward like a ripple in a pond, clearing space around us, keeping a safe distance. Blonde Giant scrambles to his feet as Elliot joins us.
Oh, no.
Kate is with me, gaping at all of us. Elliot grasps Christian's arm as Ethan appears, too.
Take it easy, okay? Didn't mean any harm.
Blonde Giant holds his hands up in defeat, beating a hasty retreat. Christian's eyes follow him off the dance floor. He does not look at me. The song changes from the explicit lyrics of Sexy Bitch to a pulsing techno dance number with a woman singing with an impassioned voice. Elliot looks down at me, then across at Christian, and, releasing Christian, pulls Kate into a dance. I put my arms around Christian's neck until he finally makes eye contact, his eyes still blazing, primal and feral. A glimpse of a brawling adolescent.
Holy shit.
He scrutinizes my face.
Are you okay?
He asks finally. Yes. I rub my palm, trying to dispel the sting, and bring my hands down to his chest. My hand is throbbing. I have never slapped anyone before. What possessed me? Touching me wasn't the worst crime against humanity, was it? Yet deep down, I know why I hit him. It's because I instinctively knew how Christian would react to seeing some stranger pawing me. I knew he'd lose his precious self-control, and the thought that some stupid nobody could derail my husband, my love, well, it makes me mad, really mad.
Do you want to sit down?
Christian asks over the pulsing beat. Oh, come back to me, please. No, dance with me. He looks at me impassively, saying nothing. Touch me, the woman sings. Dance with me. He's still mad. Dance, Christian, please. I take his hands. Christian glares after the guy, but I start to move against him, weaving myself around him. The throng of dancers has circled us once more, although there's now a 2-foot exclusion zone around us.
You hit him?
Christian asks, standing stock still. I take his fisted hands. Of course I did. I thought it was you, but his hands were hairier. Please dance with me. As Christian gazes at me, the fire in his eyes slowly changes, evolves into something else, something darker, something hotter. Suddenly, he grabs my wrists and pulls me flush against him, pinning my hands behind my back.
You want to dance? Let's dance.
He growls close to my ear, and as he rolls his hips around into me, I can do nothing but follow, his hands holding mine against my backside. Oh, Christian can move, really move. He keeps me close, not letting me go, but his hands gradually relax on mine, freeing me. My hands creep around, up his arms, feeling his bunched muscles through his jacket, up to his shoulders. He presses me against him, and I follow his moves as he slowly, sensually dances with me, in time to the pulsing beat of the club music. The moment he grabs my hand and spins me first one way, then the other, I know he's back with me. I grin. He grins. We dance together, and it's liberating. Fun. His anger forgotten or suppressed. He whirls me around with consummate skill in our small space on the dance floor, never letting go. He makes me graceful. That's his skill. He makes me sexy, because that's what he is. He makes me feel loved, because, in spite of his 50 shades, he has a wealth of love to give. Watching him now, enjoying himself, one could be forgiven for thinking he doesn't have a care in the world. I know his love is clouded with issues of overprotectiveness and control, but it doesn't make me love him any less. I am breathless when the song morphs to another.
Can we sit?
I gasp.
Sure.
He leads me off the dance floor. You've made me rather hot and sweaty, I whisper as we return to the table. He pulls me into his arms.
I like you hot and sweaty, though I prefer to make you hot and sweaty in private.
He purrs, and a lascivious smile tugs at his lips. As I sit, it's as if the incident on the dance floor never happened. I'm vaguely surprised we haven't been thrown out. I glance around the bar. No one is looking at us, and I can't see Blonde Giant. Maybe he left, or maybe he's been thrown out. Kate and Elliot are being indecent on the dance floor. Ethan and Mia, less so. I take another sip of champagne.
Here.
Christian puts another glass of water before me and regards me intently. His expression is expectant.
Drink it. Drink it now.
I do as I'm told. Besides, I'm thirsty. He lifts a bottle of Peroni from the ice bucket on the table and takes a long drink.
What if there had been press here?
I ask. Christian knows immediately that I'm referring to his knocking Blonde Giant on his ass.
I have expensive lawyers,
he says coolly, all at once arrogance personified. I frown at him. But you're not above the law, Christian. I did have the situation under control. His eyes frost.
No one touches what's mine,
he says with chilling finality, as if I'm missing the obvious. Oh. I take another sip of my champagne. All of a sudden, I feel overwhelmed. The music is loud, pounding, my head and feet are aching, and I feel woozy. He grasps my hand.
Come, let's go. I want to get you home,
he says. Kate and Elliot join us.
You going?
Kate asks, and her voice is hopeful.
Yes,
Christian says.
Good. We'll come with you.
As we wait at the coat check for Christian to retrieve my trench coat, Kate quizzes me.
What happened with that guy on the dance floor?
He was feeling me up.
I opened my eyes and you'd hit him.
I shrug. Well, I knew Christian would go thermonuclear, and that could potentially ruin your evening. I'm still processing how I feel about Christian's behavior. At the time, I was worried that it could have been worse.
Our evening, she clarifies.
He is rather hot-headed, isn't he? Kate adds dryly, staring at Christian as he collects my coat. I snort and smile.
You could say that.
I think you handle him well.
Handle?
I frown. Do I handle Christian?
Here.
Christian holds my coat open for me so that I can put it on.
Wake up, Anna.
Christian is shaking me gently. We've arrived back at the house. Reluctantly, I open my eyes and stagger from the minivan. Kate and Elliot have disappeared, and Taylor is standing patiently beside the vehicle.
Do I need to carry you?
Christian asks. I shake my head.
I'll fetch Miss Gray and Mr. Kavanaugh,
Taylor says. Christian nods, then leads me to the front door. My feet are throbbing, and I stumble after him. At the front door, he bends down, grasps my ankle, and gently pries off first one shoe, then the other.
Oh, the relief!
He straightens and gazes down at me, holding my Manolos.
Better?
He asks, amused. I nod.
I had delightful visions of these around my ears,
he murmurs, staring down wistfully at my shoes. He shakes his head and, taking my hand once more, leads me through the darkened house and up the stairs to our bedroom.
You're wrecked, aren't you?
He says softly, staring down at me. I nod. He starts to unbuckle the belt on my trench coat.
I'll do it,
I mutter, making a half-hearted attempt to brush him off.
Let me.
I sigh.
I had no idea I was this tired.
It's the altitude. You're not used to it. And the drinking, of course.
He smirks, divests me of my coat, and throws it on one of the bedroom chairs. Taking my hand, he leads me into the bathroom. Why are we going in here?
Sit,
he says. I sit on the chair and close my eyes. I hear him as he messes around with bottles on the vanity unit. I am too tired to open my eyes to find out what he's doing. A moment later, he tips my head back and I open my eyes in surprise.
Eyes closed,
Christian says. Holy crap, he's holding a cotton ball. Gently, he wipes it over my right eye. I sit stunned as he methodically removes my makeup.
Ah, there's the woman I married,
he says after a few wipes. You don't like makeup?
I like it well enough, but I prefer what's beneath it.
He kisses my forehead.
Here, take these.
He puts some Advil into my palm and hands me a glass of water. I look and pout.
Take them,
he orders. I roll my eyes, but do as I'm told.
Good. Do you need a private moment?
He asks sardonically. I snort. So coy, Mr. Gray. Yes, I need to pee. He laughs.
You expect me to leave?
I giggle. You want to stay? He cocks his head to one side, his expression amused. You are one kinky son of a bitch. Out! I don't want you to watch me pee. That's a step too far. I stand and wave him out of the bathroom. When I emerge from the bathroom, he's changed into his pajama bottoms. Christian in PJs. Mesmerized, I gaze at his abdomen, his muscles, and his happy trail. It's distracting. He strides over to me.
Enjoying the view?
He asks wryly. Always.
I think you're slightly drunk, Mrs. Gray.
I think, for once, I have to agree with you, Mr. Gray.
Let me help you out of what little there is of this dress. It really should come with a health warning.
He turns me around and undoes the single button at the neck. You were so mad, I murmur.
Yes, I was.
At me?
No, not at you.
He kisses my shoulder.
For once.
I smile. Not mad at me. This is progress. Makes a nice change.
Yes, it does.
He kisses my other shoulder, then tugs my dress down over my backside and onto the floor. He removes my panties at the same time, leaving me naked. Reaching up, he takes my hand.
Step,
he commands, and I step out of the dress, holding his hand for balance. He stands and tosses my dress and panties onto the chair with Mia's trench coat.
Arms up,
he says softly. He slips his t-shirt over my head and pulls it down, covering me up. I am ready for bed. He pulls me into his arms and kisses me, my minty breath mingling with his.
As much as I'd love to bury myself in you, Mrs. Gray, you've had too much to drink. You're at nearly 8,000 feet, and you didn't sleep well last night. Come, get into bed.
He pulls back the duvet, and I climb in. He covers me up and kisses my forehead once more.
Close your eyes. When I come back to bed, I'll expect you to be asleep.
It's a threat, a command. It's Christian. Don't go, I plead.
I have some calls to make, Anna.
It's Saturday. It's late. Please? He runs his hands through his hair.
Anna, if I come to bed with you now, you won't get any rest. Sleep.
He's adamant. I close my eyes and his lips brush my forehead once more.
Good night, baby.
He breathes. Images of the day flash through my mind. Christian hauling me over his shoulder in the plane, his anxiety as to whether or not I'd like the house, making love this afternoon, the bath, his reaction to my dress, decking blonde giant,
My palm tingles at the memory, and then Christian putting me to bed. Who would have thought? I grin widely, the word progress running around my brain as I drift. Chapter 15. I am too warm, Christian warm. His head is on my shoulder, and he's breathing softly on my neck while he sleeps, his legs threaded through mine, his arm around my waist. I linger on the edge of consciousness, aware that if I wake fully, I'll wake him too, and he doesn't sleep enough. Hazily, my mind wanders through the events of yesterday evening. I drank too much. Boy, did I drink too much. I'm amazed Christian let me. I smile as I remember him putting me to bed. That was sweet, real sweet, and unexpected. I conduct a quick mental inventory of how I'm feeling. Stomach? Fine. Head? Surprisingly fine, but fuzzy. My palm is still red from last night. Sheesh. Idly, I think about Christian's palms when he spanked me. I squirm, and he wakes.
What's wrong?
Sleepy gray eyes search mine. Nothing. Good morning. I run the fingers of my uninjured hand through his hair.
Mrs. Gray, you look lovely this morning,
he says, kissing my cheek, and I light up from within. Thank you for taking care of me last night.
I like taking care of you. It's what I want to do,
he says quietly. But his eyes betray him as triumph flares in their gray depths. It's like he's won the World Series or the Super Bowl. Oh, my 50. You make me feel cherished.
That's because you are,
he murmurs, and my heart clenches. He clasps my hand and I wince. He releases me immediately, alarmed.
The punch?
He asks. His eyes frost as he scrutinizes mine, and his voice is laced with sudden anger. I slapped him. I didn't punch him.
That fucker.
I thought we'd dealt with this last night.
I can't bear that he touched you.
He didn't hurt me. He was just inappropriate. Christian, I'm okay. My hand's a little red, that's all. Surely you know what that's like. I smirk and his expression changes to one of amused surprise.
Why, Mrs. Gray, I am very familiar with that.
His lips twist in amusement.
I could reacquaint myself with that feeling this minute, should you so wish.
Oh, stow your twitching palm, Mr. Gray. I stroke his face with my injured hand, my fingers caressing his sideburn. Gently, I tug the little hairs. It distracts him, and he takes my hand and plants a tender kiss in my palm. Miraculously, the pain disappears.
Why didn't you tell me this hurt last night?
I didn't really feel it last night. It's okay now. His eyes soften and his mouth twists.
How are you feeling?
Better than I deserve.
That's quite a right arm you have there, Mrs. Gray.
You'd do well to remember that, Mr. Gray.
Oh, really?
He rolls suddenly so that he's fully on top of me, pressing me into the mattress, holding my wrists above my head. He gazes down at me.
I'd fight you any day, Mrs. Gray. In fact, subduing you in bed is a fantasy of mine.
He kisses my throat.
What?
I thought you subdued me all the time. I gasp as he nibbles my earlobe.
But I'd like some resistance.
He murmurs, his nose skirting my jaw. Resistance? I still. He stops, releasing my hands, and leans up on his elbows. You want me to fight you? Here? I whisper, trying to contain my surprise. Okay, my shock. He nods, his eyes hooded but wary as he gauges my reaction. Now? He shrugs. And I see the idea flit through his mind. He gives me his shy smile and nods again, slowly. Oh, my. He's tense, lying on top of me,
and his growing erection is digging tantalizingly into my soft, willing flesh, distracting me. What's this about? Brawling? Fantasy? Will he hurt me? My inner goddess shakes her head. Never.
Is this what you meant about coming to bed angry?
He nods once more, his eyes still wary. My 50 wants to rumble.
Don't bite your lip,
he warns. Compliantly, I release my lip.
I think you have me at a disadvantage, Mr. Gray.
I bat my lashes and squirm provocatively beneath him. This could be fun.
Disadvantage?
Surely you've already got me where you want me. He smirks and presses his groin into mine once more.
Good point, well made, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers, and quickly kisses my lips. Abruptly, he shifts and takes me with him, rolling over so I'm straddling him. I grab his hands, pinning them to the side of his head, and ignore the protesting ache from my hand. My hair falls in a chestnut veil around us, and I move my head so that the strands tickle his face. He jerks his face away but doesn't try to stop me. So, you want to play rough? I ask, skimming my crotch over his. His mouth opens and he inhales sharply.
Yes,
he hisses, and I release him. Wait. I reach over for the glass of water beside the bed. Christian must have left it here. It's cool and sparkling. Too cool to have been sitting here for long, and I wonder when he came to bed. As I take a long draft, Christian trails his fingers in small circles up my thighs, leaving tingling skin in their wake before he cups and squeezes my naked behind. Taking a leaf from his impressive repertoire, I lean forward and kiss him, pouring clear, cool water into his mouth. He drinks.
Very tasty, Mrs. Gray,
he murmurs, sporting a boyish and playful grin. After placing the glass back on the bedside table, I remove his hands from my backside and pin them by his head once more. So I'm supposed to be unwilling? I smirk.
Yes.
I'm not much of an actress. He grins.
Try.
I lean down and kiss him chastely. Okay, I'll play. I whisper, trailing my teeth along his jaw, feeling his prickly stubble beneath my teeth and my tongue. Christian makes a low, sexy sound in his throat and moves, tossing me onto the bed beside him. I cry out in surprise, then he's on top of me, and I start to struggle as he makes a grab for my hands. Roughly, I place my hands on his chest, pushing with all my might, trying to move him, while he endeavors to pry my legs apart with his knee. I continue pushing at his chest. Jeez, he's heavy. But he doesn't flinch, doesn't freeze, as he once might have. He's enjoying this. He attempts to grab my wrists and finally captures one, despite my valiant attempts to twist it free. It's my sore hand, so I surrender it to him. But I grab his hair with my other hand and pull hard. Ah! He yanks his head free and gazes down at me, his eyes wild and carnal.
Savage!
He whispers, his voice laced with salacious delight. In response to this one whispered word, my libido explodes, and I stop acting. Again, I struggle in vain to wrest my hand out of his hold. At the same time, I try to hook my ankles together and attempt to buck him off me. He's too heavy. Gah! It's frustrating and hot. With a groan, Christian captures my other hand. He holds both my wrists in his left hand, and his right travels leisurely, insolently, almost, down my body, fondling and feeling as it goes, tweaking my nipple on the way. I yelp in response, pleasure spiking short, sharp, and hot, from my nipple to my groin. I make another fruitless attempt to buck him off, but he's just too on me. When he tries to kiss me, I jerk my head to the side so he can't. Promptly, his insolent hand moves from the hem of my t-shirt up to my chin, holding me in place as he runs his teeth along my jaw, mirroring what I did to him earlier.
Oh, baby, fight me,
he murmurs. I twist and writhe, trying to free myself from his merciless hold, but it's hopeless. He's much stronger than me. He's gently biting at my lower lip as his tongue tries to invade my mouth, and I realize I don't want to resist him. I want him, now, like I always do. I stop fighting and fervently return his kiss. I don't care that I haven't brushed my teeth. I don't care that we're supposed to be playing some game. Desire, hot and hard, surges through my bloodstream, and I'm lost. Unhooking my ankles, I wrap my legs around his hips and use my heels to push his pajamas down over his behind.
Anna,
he breathes, and kisses me everywhere. And we're no longer wrestling, but all hands and tongues and touch and taste, quick and urgent.
Skin,
he murmurs hoarsely, his breathing labored. He drags me up and tugs off my t-shirt in one swift move. You, I whisper while I'm upright, because it's all I can think of to say. I seize the front of his pajamas and yank them down, freeing his erection. I grab and squeeze him. He's hard. The air whistles through his teeth as he inhales sharply, and I revel in his response.
Fuck,
he murmurs. He leans back, lifting my thighs, tipping me down onto the bed as I pull and squeeze him tightly, running my hand up and down him. Feeling a bead of moisture on his tip, I swirl it around with my thumb. As he lowers me to the mattress, I slip my thumb in my mouth to taste him, while his hands travel up my body, caressing my hips, my stomach, my breasts.
Tastes good,
he asks as he hovers over me, eyes blazing. Yes, here. I push my thumb into his mouth and he sucks and bites the pad. I groan, grasp his head, and pull him down to me so I can kiss him. Wrapping my legs around him, I push his pajamas off his legs with my feet, then cradle him with my legs around his waist. His lips trail from across my jaw to my chin, nipping softly.
You're so beautiful.
He dips his head lower to the base of my throat.
Such beautiful skin.
His breath is soft as his lips glide down to my breasts.
What?
I am panting, confused, wanting, now waiting. I thought this was going to be quick. Christian! I hear the quiet plea in my voice and reach down, fisting my hands in his hair.
Hush,
he whispers, and circles my nipple with his tongue before pulling it into his mouth and tugging hard.
Ah!
I moan and squirm, tilting my pelvis up to tempt him. He grins against my skin and turns his attention to my other breast.
Impatient, Mrs. Gray.
He then sucks hard on my nipple. I tug his hair. He groans and peers up.
I'll restrain you,
he warns. Take me, I beg.
All in good time,
he murmurs against my skin. His hand travels down at an infuriatingly slow speed to my hip as he worships my nipple with his mouth. I moan loudly, my breath short and shallow, and I try once more to entice him into me, rocking against him. He's thick and heavy and close, but he's taking his own sweet, leisurely time with me. Fuck this. I struggle and twist, determined to buck him off me again.
What the?
Grabbing my hands, Christian pins them down on the bed, my arms spread wide, and rests his full body weight on me, completely subduing me. I am breathless, wild. You wanted resistance? I say, panting. He rears up over me and gazes down, his hands still locked around my wrists. I place my heels under his behind and push. He doesn't move.
Gah! You don't want to play nice?
He asks, astonished, his eyes alight with excitement. I just want you to make love to me, Christian. Could he be any more obtuse? First we're fighting and wrestling, then he's all tender and sweet. It's confusing. I'm in bed with Mr. Mercurial. Please. I press my heels against his backside once more,
Burning gray eyes search mine. Oh, what is he thinking? He looks momentarily bewildered and confused. He releases my hands and sits back on his heels, pulling me into his lap.
Okay, Mrs. Gray. We'll do this your way.
He lifts me up and slowly lowers me onto him, so I'm straddling him. Ah! This is it. This is what I want. This is what I need. Curling my arms around his neck, I twist my fingers in his hair, glorying in the feeling of him inside me. I start to move, taking control, taking him at my pace, at my speed. He moans and his lips find mine, and we're lost. I trail my fingers through the hair on Christian's chest. He lies on his back, still and quiet beside me, as we both catch our breath. His hand thrums rhythmically down my back. You're quiet, I whisper, and kiss his shoulder. He turns and looks at me, his expression giving nothing away.
That was fun.
Shit, is something wrong?
You confound me, Anna.
Confound you? He shifts so that we're face to face.
Yes, you. Calling the shots, it's different.
Good different or bad different? I trail a finger over his lips. His brow furrows as if he doesn't quite understand the question. Absent-mindedly, he kisses my finger.
Good different,
he says, but he doesn't sound convinced. You've never indulged this little fantasy before? I blush as I say it. Do I really want to know any more about my husband's colorful, kaleidoscopic sex life before me? My subconscious eyes me warily over her tortoiseshell half-moon specs. Do you really want to go there?
No, Anastasia. You can touch me.
It's a simple explanation that speaks volumes. Of course, the 15 couldn't. Mrs. Robinson could touch you. I murmur the words before my brain registers what I've said. Shit, why did I mention her? He stills. His eyes widen with his, oh no, where's she going with this, expression.
That was different,
he whispers. Suddenly, I want to know. Good different or bad different? He gazes at me. Doubt and possibly pain flit across his face, and fleetingly he looks like a man drowning.
Bad, I think.
His words are barely audible. Holy shit. I thought you liked it.
I did, at the time.
Not now? He gazes at me, eyes wide, then slowly shakes his head. Oh my. Oh, Christian. I'm overwhelmed by the feelings that swamp me. My lost boy. I launch myself at him and kiss his face, his throat, his chest, his little round scars. He groans, pulls me to him, and kisses me passionately, and very slowly and tenderly, at his pace, he makes love to me once more.
Anna Tyson, punching above your weight.
Ethan applauds as I head into the kitchen for breakfast. He is sitting with Mia and Kate at the breakfast bar while Mrs. Bentley cooks waffles. Christian is nowhere to be seen.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray.
Mrs. Bentley smiles.
What would you like for breakfast?
Good morning. Whatever's going, thank you. Where's Christian? Outside. Kate gestures with her head toward the backyard. I wander over to the window that looks out over the yard and the mountains beyond. It's a clear, powder-blue summer day, and my beautiful husband is about 20 feet away in deep discussion with some guy. That's Mr. Bentley he's talking to, calls Mia from the breakfast bar. I turn to look at her, distracted by her sulky tone. She looks venomously at Ethan. Oh, dear. I wonder once more what's going on between them. Frowning, I turn my attention back to my husband and Mr. Bentley. Mrs. Bentley's husband is fair-haired, dark-eyed, and wiry,
dressed in work pants and an Aspen Fire Department t-shirt. Christian is dressed in his black jeans and t-shirt. As the two men amble across the lawn toward the house, lost in their conversation, Christian casually bends to pick up what looks like a bamboo cane that must have been blown over or discarded in the flower bed. Pausing, Christian absentmindedly holds out the cane at arm's length as if weighing it carefully and swipes it through the air just once. Oh. Mr. Bentley appears to see nothing odd in his behavior. They continue their discussion, nearer to the house this time, then pause once more, and Christian repeats the gesture. The tip of the cane hits the ground. Glancing up, Christian sees me standing at the window.
And you don't, oh, soon-to-be sister-in-law?
I reply, grinning, and trying to bury the disquieting visual of Christian wielding a cane. I am startled when Kate leaps up and hugs me.
Sister!
She exclaims, and it's hard not to be swept up in her joy.
Hey, sleepyhead.
Christian wakes me.
We're about to land. Buckle up.
I fumble sleepily for my seatbelt, but Christian fastens it for me. He kisses my forehead before settling back into his seat. I lean my head on his shoulder again and close my eyes. An impossibly long hike and a picnic lunch on top of a spectacular mountain have exhausted me. The rest of our party is quiet, too. Even Mia. She looks despondent, as she has all day. I wonder how her campaign with Ethan is going. I don't even know where they slept last night. My eyes catch hers, and I give a small, "Are you okay?" smile. She gives me a brief, sad smile in return and goes back to her book. I peek up at Christian through my lashes. He's working on a contract or something, reading it through and annotating the margins. But he seems relaxed. Elliot is snoring softly beside Kate. I have yet to corner Elliot and quiz him about Gia, but it's been impossible to pry him away from Kate. Christian isn't interested enough to ask, which is irritating, but I haven't pressed him. We've been enjoying ourselves too much. Elliot rests his hand possessively on Kate's knee. She looks radiant. And to think that only yesterday afternoon she was so unsure of him. What did Christian call him? Leliot. Perhaps that's a family nickname? It was sweet. Better than man-whore. Abruptly, Elliot opens his eyes and gazes straight at me. I blush, caught staring. He grins.
I sure love your blush, Anna.
He teases, stretching. Kate gives me her self-satisfied, cat-ate-the-canary smile. First Officer Bailey announces our approach to SeaTac, and Christian clasps my hand.
How was your weekend, Mrs. Gray?
Christian asks, once we're in the Audi heading back to Escala. Taylor and Ryan are up front. Good, thank you. I smile, feeling shy all of a sudden.
We can go any time. Take anyone you wish to take.
We should take Ray. He'd like the fishing.
That's a good idea.
How was it for you? I ask.
Good,
he says after a moment, surprised by my question. I think.
Real good.
You seemed to relax. He shrugs.
I knew you were safe.
I frown. Christian, I'm safe most of the time. I've told you before. You'll keel over at 40 if you keep up this level of anxiety, and I want to grow old and gray with you. I grasp his hand. He looks at me as if he can't comprehend what I'm saying. He gently kisses my knuckles and changes the subject.
How's your hand?
It's better, thank you. He smiles.
Very good, Mrs. Gray. You ready to face Gia again?
Oh, crap. I'd forgotten we were seeing her this evening to go over the final plans. I roll my eyes. I might want to keep you out of the way. Keep you safe. I smirk.
Protecting me?
Christian is laughing at me. As ever, Mr. Gray, from all sexual predators. I whisper. Christian is brushing his teeth when I crawl into bed. Tomorrow we go back to reality. Back to work, the paparazzi, and to Jack in custody, but with the possibility that he has an accomplice. Christian was vague about that. Does he know? And if he did know, would he tell me? I sigh. Getting information out of Christian is like pulling teeth, and we've had such a lovely weekend. Do I want to ruin the feel-good moment by trying to drag the information out of him? It's been a revelation to see him out of his normal environment, outside this apartment, relaxed and happy with his family. I wonder vaguely if it's because we're here in this apartment, with all its memories and associations, that he gets wound up. Maybe we should move. I snort. We are moving. We're having a huge house refurbished on the coast. Gia's plans are complete and approved, and Elliot's team starts building next week. I chuckle as I recall Gia's shocked expression when I told her that I'd seen her in Aspen. Turns out it was nothing but coincidence. She'd camped out at her holiday place to work solely on our plans. For one awful moment, I thought she'd had a hand in choosing the ring, but apparently not. But I still don't trust Gia. I want to hear the same story from Elliot. At least she kept her distance from Christian this time. I look out at the night sky. I will miss this view. This panoramic vista. Seattle at our feet, so full of possibilities, yet so far removed. Maybe that's Christian's problem. He's been too isolated from real life for too long, thanks to his self-imposed exile. Yet, with his family around him, he is less controlling, less anxious, freer, happier. I wonder what Flynn would make of all that. Holy crap, maybe that's the answer. Maybe he needs his own family. I shake my head in denial. We're too young, too new to all this. Christian strides into the room, looking his usual gorgeous but pensive self. Everything okay? I ask. He nods distractedly as he climbs into bed. I'm not looking forward to going back to reality, I murmur.
No?
I shake my head and caress his lovely face. I had a wonderful weekend. Thank you. He smiles softly.
You're my reality, Anna.
He murmurs and kisses me. Do you miss it?
Miss what?
He asks, perplexed. You know, the caning and stuff. I whisper, embarrassed. He stares at me, his gaze impassive. Then doubt crosses his face, his where is she going with this look.
No, Anastasia, I don't.
His voice is steady and quiet. He caresses my cheek.
Dr. Flynn said something to me when you left. Something that's stayed with me. He said I couldn't be that way if you weren't so inclined. It was a revelation.
He stops and frowns.
I didn't know any other way, Anna. Now I do. It's been educational.
Me? Educate you? I scoff. His eyes soften.
Do you miss it?
He asks. Oh. I don't want you to hurt me, but I like to play, Christian. You know that. If you wanted to do something... I shrug, gazing at him.
Something?
You know, with a flogger or your crap? I stop, blushing. He raises his brow, surprised.
Well, we'll see. Right now, I'd like some good old-fashioned vanilla.
His thumb skirts my bottom lip, and he kisses me once more. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, good morning. Date, August 29th, 2011. 9:14. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. That is all. Yours always, A.X. Anastasia Gray, Editor, S.I.P. From Christian Gray. Subject, Vanishing Monday Blues. Date, August 29th, 2011, 9:18, to Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, what gratifying words to hear from one's wife, errant or not, on a Monday morning. Let me assure you that I feel exactly the same way. Sorry about the dinner this evening. I hope it won't be too tedious for you. X.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Oh, yes. The American Shipbuilding Association dinner. I roll my eyes. More stuffed shirts.
Christian really does take me to the most fascinating functions. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, Ships That Pass in the Night. Date, August 29th, 2011, 9:26. To Christian Gray. Dear Mr. Gray, I am sure you can think of a way to spice up the dinner. Yours in anticipation, Mrs. G. X. Anastasia, non-errant, Gray, editor, S.I.P. From Christian Gray, subject, Variety is the Spice of Life. Date, August 29th, 2011, 9:35. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, I have a few ideas.
X. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, now impatient for the ASA dinner, Inc.